Hi, hey, how's it going? Welcome to the Christmas episode, and I don't know how you feel about Christmas, Cavett, but when I think of Christmas, and when I think of 2018, this might be a little too loud, but we're going to keep going. I think of one thing, and I think of really the children of the world coming together, singing, holding hands.
They told me, pa-ra-pa-pa-pum. Sound like a vampire.
Okay, excuse me, Count.
Oh, hey.
And you know, if I really look at it as I look at it as one wish, right? If I had that one wish, I would be for the children of the world to hold hands and to sing.
But come, they told me, pa-ra-pa-pum-pum.
Count, hey. Hold on. But if I wanted to have a second wish, though, right? Like, you know, if people want a second wish, you know? They don't want to be like, you know, like Ray J, just have one wish, right? They want to have a second wish, and that second wish would be for a lot of money, right? So I would hopefully like a huge sum of money, not too much, but maybe something along the lines of maybe $69 million, you know, to be evenly spread out, so therefore I can fund this all the children coming together thing, right? Because it's going to be, you know, flying them in. You're going to have to scheduling, whatnot. At least several millions. You know, to do that. So $69 million for my second wish.
Me and my drum.
Nice.
Eagles.
Oh, Eagles. Okay, Eagles. Yes, they were in concert. Yeah. So if I really want to, things come in threes, right? So I wanted to figure, like, maybe I should have a third wish, right? So if I have this third wish, I figure, what, you know, I have this money, and what does money really get you, right? As you, I didn't know if the chair was going to spin like that.
Christmas tree.
With $69 million, you can get a little bit more than a Christmas tree. So what I was thinking is, like, you know, you have all these IG models, right? You know, all these women, you know, book, you know, for Gmail, for bookings, things of this nature.
Hurry up.
So I figure we get all the broads. $69 million will facilitate bringing in all the broads, and then we'll have money left over to have the children of the world.
There you go, plenty of children with broads. Hold,
maybe, but they'll be holding hands and singing.
Worst intro.
Not top five. So then we're going to have one final thing. I totally forgot. We have to have revenge on people. We have to go and we have to take people out because people piss us off all the time. Some people, you know, a lot of people didn't show up tonight because, you know, the sound guy gone, he not there, all the co-hosts gone. So let's redirect this whole thing. We're going to go revenge against everybody. That's number one. Then we go number two. We get the $69 million. $69 million then facilitates the broads. Broads will come in, set three, and the final. For the children of the world to hold their hands.
Hold hands.
And sing. Merry Christmas, everyone. Yes, say.
Merry Christmas.
Hey, all right.
You like gifts? Give you the gift of gab. Yes. Dink, I was born in December, cause we've been gifting listeners as long as I remember. Gifts of gab, package from the sender, payment made and head nods all for gifts rendered. Got so many gifts, it's a number hard to measure. When it comes to wordplay, I got it by the letter. Kris Kringle of the lingo, real go-getter. I'm colder than a shaved polar bear, no sweater. Wear the light slippers and it gets no better. Where the weather is apparently warmer and wetter. If Auntie's on my lap, then Uncle just let her. If Saint Nick is skipping, catch a semi-swollen member.
I got the gift of gab to rip the pen and pad, not blackalicious. But a swim in swan lake makes everything feel like it's Christmas. That's the whack MCs. Added number one into my wish list. The choices maybe sound somewhat bitter and bullish.
And live from the highbrow room, it's Sleep. Time's over with DJ Zach Morris and Jaylene.
All right, bro. Guess who's back?
Let's go.
Sleep time's over. Cavett the Catalyst, DJ Zach Morris.
Yes.
Christmas special, Mele Kaliki Maka, brah.
You're back, bro.
I am back.
Oh.
Full effect, brah.
Christmas.
The best song ever. We invited everybody to rap, never, nobody came.
Really?
I think only Parlez came.
Well, you had like three other guys on there, right?
No, it was like me, Wade, Dwell, and Parlez.
And then like Lofa, like,
looking Wolfhard confused. Wolfhard is looking confused, like he's confused right now.
He's always confused. But
shout out to Umi Toys. He's still the homie.
Yes.
Lost, but still the homie.
Well, okay, see? That's just a sample of all the controversial things that are going to happen for this Christmas special. So I'm going to cut to the chase, okay?
Brah.
Where you been?
Brah, never mind why are you where here, I've brah? Been, brah.
You tell me right now. You look into my eye.
Well, you know what? You know what happened between you and me, bro. No one needs to know, bro.
We gonna tell the world.
Okay. This is what happened, okay? One day, no, actually, not really. Just the business. You know, we did the podcast before, right?
At the store.
Was at 2009 South King Street.
Correct.
Light Sleeper Shop, number one shop.
Number one streetwear.
We did it for 300 something episodes.
100 episode, which was actually the dinner.
Insanity, dude.
And we didn't even do like a special 100 episode thing. You're just like,
well, I didn't want to do something big. I just wanted to kind of like transition. And then look at you now, bro. Look at this. Bruh. Shout out to the Lord. Hi, bro.
I'm tired all day, every day
you,
now.
Bruh.
Every hour of the
you know, even back when we used to DJ, you was tired already, right? Yo, mixes was tired, bro.
Hey,
you mix good, bro. Top five mixers in Hawaii. Five mixers, bro.
Wow, that's very nice
Top
of you.
Top five mixers. And on the side note, Gary Owens is on Instagram.
That's scary.
I didn't tell you off the mic.
That's scary. So we're going to announce this to everyone right now. Gary Owens, who he is? Hey,
well, I'm going to Stone Groove family, bro.
I'm going to talk about Jamal later on, but he did reveal the age.
Oh, but Jamal gave his age.
Of DJ Gary Owens. Oh. He did not.
Okay, before we get into that, the reason why dismissed myself from the podcast wasn't too controversy, wasn't too any kind of nannies. I scratched my nose. Was because I had Designer Con, and then we had Thanksgiving, then we had a Black Friday, Small Business Saturday, and then we had Cyber Monday, and then boom, I went crazy after that. Then it's holiday season, so I couldn't.
You just said no can.
Just couldn't do it, bro.
And I was all sad. Cry, anxiety, antipsychotics, whatever, Valium.
You know, the thing.
No dose.
I gotta say that I'm proud of you, dude. Sounds bad, like gay almost, but no, for real. Cause look at the pot.
Well,
look at M&M's, bro.
Why did you have to say that?
White chocolate, brown filling, bro. There we go, M&M's, brother.
I had it in the back of my head. You better.
But no, for real. I like how the podcast is elevated from our Hanabata days, bro.
Well, as I've told you before, I'm going to say it again. I've told you if I can't do another show with any other guy except you.
Right.
That's it. And I say this truthfully, okay? So that's why I say, no cry yet. We got a lot more BS to cover. If I'm going to do the show, it has to be something drastically different.
No, it's flattering, though. It's very flattering. You got homegirl, right, from the Bay, right?
Right, so here? I figured it has to be something totally off kilter. So
that's good.
Let's get Jaylene. She's 22.
Young.
I'm old.
Whatever happened to our millennial?
I don't know.
Where is our millennial?
Well, she's kind of MIA because she kind of had a surgery.
What are you saying? I can't stop on this.
She's not listening.
She ain't going to listen to
this.
She's
not listening. She's watching anime right now, and then she's going to get ramen, and then she's going to boomerang her dog, is what she's doing. Okay?
Boomerang dog.
She has her dog. I show sad things of the dog. I saw the dog not climbing up the couch.
Here we go.
She is not going to go. Shout out to people who watch.
Do you have an IG of your pet?
No. Okay, what are you talking about?
Good, bro.
Oh no, wait.
I get problems with people with IGs of their pet. Spell has one. Sorry, Spell. What?
Nothing.
Actually, plenty of people.
Forget it. Nothing. Forget it. Move on to the next topic.
Only because I don't know their pet, bro.
Bottom line is this: the millennial,
and they kind of like my page.
You want the pet to like your? What?
They kind of like my pictures, bro.
No, they kind of. Yeah, it's, okay, I'll give you that. You should not follow some kind of a, like, Corgi the Morgi. Or
fake flowers,
or bro. Or fake flowers, the Chesky. Jawas, or something. Don't, because the guys, the dog's not going to like your things.
Anyway, off the path. Yeah, basically, it was just, I had to take care of light sleepers. Pretty much. I mean, if anybody, there's nothing real. Yeah.
That was it, basically. That was basically under,
Because it's like, literally, the podcast was taking off, and it's in a great place right now, so I was like, either I commit
more time.
Great
time to leave, bro.
Hey, you know what? Always go out on top, brah. When I finished the Light Sleeper show 5 years, people wrote letters to the advertiser about saving the show.
Yeah. You told me this. Yeah.
And then some dude was like, hey, tell that guy, get off the air. Some guy rebutted with the letter saying, get that guy off the air. I was reading this. I'm like, brah, this is like
that's ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
And who was that? You remember the guy's name?
I don't know.
Just Bone.
Oh. Just Bone. Huh? He's like,
just like, I'm going to write something. And then his career took off after that.
Justin Kanashiro, Mililani
Hawaii. He's now the sensation he is right now.
Yeah.
But I don't know. That's pretty crazy. Somebody would say, get
yeah,
out of
so
here.
Somebody wrote a letter too. You know, at the beginning when you open the paper and it has all the letters.
Yeah.
Oh, save Light Sleeper Show. So I was super flattered because people were telling me, hey, bro, someone wrote a letter, save your show. I was like, oh, that's awesome. Then the next day, someone wrote a letter saying, hey, get that guy off the air. He's taking our tax people's money. And I'm like,
shut up.
Bro, I did it for free.
Right.
I was there on Christmas. We were there. Iron Timer was there.
Yeah.
You were there. Christmas, New Year's Eve, Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
People popped fireworks, bro. Guess who was on the air?
Yeah.
Me, bro.
That is right.
I don't know if anybody was listening.
Well, but you were there, though.
I popped fireworks. I played good times about that. That was a great time.
That was good
times. We'll have a special guest coming on. I'm talking about that.
Yes.
But that's the reason why I kind of exited the podcast.
Right.
Because it was on top, too. So I realized, like, you know what? 100 episodes, a dinner. It's on top right now, you know?
Yeah.
I'm like, this is the best time to do it. Yeah. Then my son started playing basketball.
Right.
Which was the kid of the year, remember?
He was kid of the year, 2017, yeah.
So he started playing club ball. If anybody knows kids sports.
Oh, here we go.
And then there's community level, PAL level.
Yeah.
When you start getting good and competitive, you can take it to these clubs where you have to pay.
Right.
And you pay to play, and then it's like almost like developmental.
Right.
Yeah, so that, my son's playing in that, you know. He's doing all right.
So, he's been getting better and better, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's good. But he's now he's playing guys that are legit. Like, everybody's the same. So it's not like you can take advantage of the kid that just kind of like digs their nose and stuff. Like, no, all
right.
Like,
right. Like, eat snacks.
Yeah. Oh, trust me, I had kids
eat snacks. They all want snacks.
When I was coaching, okay, I said, get water break. Guess what they did? Check their phone and eat chips, bro.
Wow. That's 2018. Like, That's 2018.
Bro, we run sprints back in Pop Warner when we did that kind of stuff.
Gosh, old man.
But anyway.
Okay, yes.
You know, back in my days.
Yeah, you're starting to get into that. So,
so that's pretty much it, bro. Family and Light Sleepers. You know what I mean?
You have two kids.
I have to focus
on it. You're doing
Light
Sleepers by yourself.
Right.
Okay.
And on the real, I really thought, like, man, I talked to my wife. I was like, I wonder what Aaron's going to, what Zach's going to think about it. Like, I wonder if he's going to be mad, sad, piss off. He can still be my friend.
All of the above, bro. Check them all off.
But
I was mostly sad.
No,
I couldn't get mad at you.
No, okay. I was kind of sad too because I still wanted to do it, but I know I had to make a life decision to be like, you know, because in no ways are going to survive November doing a podcast. Like, and even if we took a break, it's like we should be doing it because it's like the main time people are listening. I feel a lot to say, a lot to address. So.
Well, right.
Yeah.
And then this was a good medium for you as well because then you can address a lot of things you would go and talk about on Facebook and what have you. And well, I just have to say that if it wasn't for you, I would not be here.
No, thanks,
because
man.
If it wasn't for you to ask me, I would not be excited to want to continue to do this thing.
Well, I'm stoked that you did it, bro.
Well, and I owe this all
and I still think Sleep Turns Over is the number one podcast in Hawaii.
Oh, hey, thanks.
Plenty Biters coming, bro.
Actually. Yeah, I've seen Plenty
Biters. Nah, not biters.
Not biters.
A lot of people want to do podcasts now. But guess what, bro? You guys don't got the commitment like us.
And you're not just going to be tired.
No, for real. They was like, oh, bro, Kevin, how you start one podcast? I was like, just do it.
Yeah, don't you just hate that? Like,
I'm like,
people ask you.
Oh, what you mean? I said, just do it. I grabbed two of my mics. Remember?
Right.
Two of my mics.
Right.
Interface, laptop.
That's it.
We sat in front of my shop. Press record.
Yeah.
What's the name of the show? Sleep, Light Sleepers.
You thought of it the night before.
Sleep Time's Over. Okay.
Yeah.
We just went.
Yeah.
So there's no real formula to it.
I still remember when you asked me. I was at your shop. I was just like, I was to the right of you.
Because you finally joined social media.
Yeah.
Everybody's like, where's Zach Morris?
Because I was tired. Literally. I'm tired of this kind of stuff.
Wando,
not anymore.
69, OVF,
right.
Kuffa, Togafi.
Now, any.
All of a sudden, I see you start following him.
Yeah.
I was like, who's this fit sports guy, bro?
Yeah.
I was like, oh, shoot, it's Zach Morris, bro. Oh, crap. So then I was like, oh, did I? I think I probably like, well, I like your page. Like your Instagram.
Oh, yeah, thanks, Seth.
You like me back. And then after that, I was like, you know, I think it's time. So I opened the shop and I was like, I think it's time to do a podcast. Because Hawaii's podcast landscape is still nothing going on. I mean, there's a few out there.
There's a few.
And shout out to all the homies that supported
Sleep
Time's Over that we kind of, you know, network with. I still keep in touch with those guys.
Right.
But it's still open landscape, so people, man, all it takes is mics, a computer, and commitment, really. Because we went every Wednesday. You can ask wives, you can ask my business
customers. Yeah.
Walking in while we're recording any kind.
I saw the girl, the one lady licked the screen, licked your window.
Bro, that was fun. Slugs. Yeah. Any kind. And then what's her name came in the first episode?
The very first guest was Jera.
Jera?
Just Jera.
Yeah.
The Micronesian.
Yeah, pretty Micronesian, bro. There you go.
She is a pretty Micronesian. You don't really put pretty in Micronesian.
Beetlejuice.
You don't say that. You tell me that. But she was our first guest, bro.
Hey, I'm waiting. Okay, you know, it usually takes like what is that called? What do you call it? Like to kind of evolve into like, you know, it's like a cocoon, right?
Digging a hole now.
No. Hey, bro, this is Sleep Time's Over. So back in the day, it was like I think the Laotian and Vietnamese, right? It was like the new immigrants, right?
Right.
And I had a friend named Sampet. I think I told you guys the story. Did I tell you the story about Sampet?
Toughest Laotian
I knew, bro. He could handle everything. Shout out to Sampet and Kamaki and Palolo. He skateboarded and fall on his head and get back up, bro.
When was this?
This is when Kamaki used to skate a lot. Okay. Kamaki. He'd fall on his head skateboarding.
Okay.
That's why I knew Laotians was tough, bro. Get up. Say, bro, Kamaki, I can handle. Mm. And he keeps skateboarding, bro. So right there, respect for the Laotians.
So what's tougher, Laotian or Micronesians?
Bro. Oh.
If you had the rumble. Right now.
Oh, back to rumble. Who takes them out? I take my Laotian brothers and sisters, bro. They can make the good chicken and they get knives.
You're right. They can maneuver.
Laotian chicken, bro.
Yeah. Wow. And then from there, you know, spark the term. No. What? Speaking of Micronesians.
What?
Micromoku.
Micromoku, if you guys don't know.
Upper Kamoku.
We created this. Huh? And it should be adapted in the Apua. You like that?
Wow.
Hawaiian?
See, this is what...
the land division, cuz.
We're gonna talk some Hawaiian stuff because I've been wanting to talk Hawaiian stuff for a bit because since you've gone.
Okay, so land division, right?
Yeah.
Tell them what it is.
Well, Micromoku is upper.
Upper.
Kiamoku.
Yeah.
You have lower Kiamoku, which is Koreamoku. Right. And then the Baratania Street is the bridge. That's the leeway between the two factions. So that is Baratania, the one that separates them out. So Micromoku, Kiamoku, as long as they stay on their border, all is well. Everything's okay.
It's like the Jets. Around. It's like the Jets, bro. When you're
the Jets and the Sharks.
Stab each other with knives and then go back and make tattoo.
A lot of knives, right.
But anyway.
Yeah, so.
Where the heck was I going with that?
I don't know.
Sleep Time's Over, Laotian people evolving. Oh, yeah. Top Pretty Micronesian.
Pretty Micronesian. The first episode.
Oh, yeah, first episode. Yeah,
led to that.
Jera, yeah.
All of this stuff led to October of 2018. Right. You decided to leave. You said. And here we are.
And you're doing good, bro. Proud of you, bro. High five for that.
Thank you. I'm trying.
Here we go.
That was a pretty lame high five.
That was the worst high five ever. That's like when you have that one friend with the limp hand that shake hands like this.
The one that's doing it. Yeah. That's the worst.
Like, bro.
Forget it.
Bring your hand. Bring your hand.
You notice that? Like people, they don't. You just shake like a man.
Bro, that kind, you know, bro. Yeah. One hand, one arm is bigger than the other.
That led to another thing we created, which was the Pringles Pornhub.
Oh.
Right?
Gutter Nerds.
The Gutter Nerds.
Pringles,
eating Pringles, going to watching Pornhub, and just staying in the parents' basement. That was it.
Yeah.
And then evolution from there, right?
Wow, we create a lot of things, bro.
Go figure.
But anyway, podcasting is hard, but it's fun. Okay. Do it. That's all you got to do.
Okay.
No need fancy mics. You don't need fancy cameras. When you do 120 episodes, then you need the fancy lights.
Yeah, we got the fancy lights.
This is awesome, bro. It's freaking great.
Yeah. Things cost $69 each.
Bro, that's 69 plus times 69. Times 16. You know how like it's one 69. Times anything is that number?
Correct.
But for this instance, 69 times 69 is 69, bro.
Hey, all right. Good, good.
Why are we saying Wando, bro?
We got to clarify this.
I don't know why
we say 69 on this show, okay? It's because of one man. It's one man's name is DJ Liger Woods. It is a guy that has been around forever. Pretty much forever.
He was the original camera guy in the club.
He was the social media guy.
He was the dude.
Before social media.
Yeah, before social media.
Yep.
Legit film camera in the club taking picture with the chicks.
Yeah, MySpace.
Like going the fake kisses.
Kiss on the cheek. Asian Avenue.
Before anybody had cameras in the club, Wando was the man with the cameras in the club.
OVF.
Yeah, and taking pictures with a lot of girls.
That's right.
But he wasn't a creeper.
He was not. He was just the guy.
He paused on that.
He was just a
69 second pause. For the video I did.
But that is where we got the whole 69. I don't know why he created that, because it used to be 69 up the butt, if you remember.
I was trying to avoid.
This is a year.
That being said,
this is the end of the year. This is the time where we reflect. The holiday season is the season of perpetual hope. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to discuss. I go to the church at 69.
Oh, bro.
Yeah. That's yeah.
What was that? That's like.
I don't even know what you're doing.
That's like my Han Solo.
Good, yeah. Carbonite you. So that was where 69 came from.
Crap.
Let's do the thing now. We do the recap.
Thank God we're both married, dude.
We get zero
chicks, bro, with this podcast.
No.
Zero, because.
Nothing would happen.
I love my wife.
Nothing. Hey, God. Good. Hey, shout out.
Shout out. Yeah. No, for real. I don't think guys, that if we're single, we get no chicks, I think.
We didn't get no chicks when we were DJing. What are you talking about?
You're talking for yourself, bro. Plenty 69s.
Hourly.
See, people don't even know, bro. I could go nuts on this thing with the whole. Anyway. Go nuts!
That gets a how's you? Oh, who are you now?
We were back in the day. You go, oh,
Kanaka.
Yeah.
That was a na-na-na moment. Okay, never mind.
Oh, boy. Dude, these lights are making my eyes water. Either that, I'm sad.
You're sad. You have to be sad.
I don't know how you do this, bro. Literally, you're like.
I don't know, bro. I'm tired, bro. I told you anti-psychotics. Visine, psychotics.
I got pink eyes, so the bugger is more.
You got pink eye?
No, big eyes, because.
I don't know.
Pink eye.
We'll talk about your Hawaiian eyes later. Okay. We'll talk about this right now. What happened? But you have a recap that you can summarize. A monthly recap. Do you have something that you can put together?
Okay.
Since October.
Wow, this is like the biggest recap we've ever had.
Let's not make this go on for 69 hours.
Let's go. Went to LA. Did Designer Con.
Which is a
convention of creative minds, you know.
Okay.
Then did that at Anaheim. Really fun.
Okay.
Did really good. No, for real. Shout out to the mainland, Brad. It's showing us so much love.
Well, yeah.
LA. Trying to go to Five Points in New York.
Yeah.
So, because New York's been hitting us up.
Oh, okay.
Night Sleepers worldwide.
So are you planning? Is that what you're planning for 2019?
Oh, yeah. Guaranteed, dude. Like, for real. Like, this Christmas and just being in LA, we sell our stuff at a shop called Quest.
Yes.
It's a comic book hip hop shop. They've been just selling out, literally.
Good.
You know what I mean? So, nah, I knew, dude. Light Sleepers is hip hop based. Dude. We're not hype based. We're not.
Right.
I do what I know and I love.
You're staying true to the game.
And I think because the 90s is coming back in, this whole thing, you know, it's
nostalgia.
We're ready, dude. We're ready for it. You know what I mean? Kids are saying drip. Who had the OG drip? Light sleepers, bruh.
That's correct.
I'm ahead of the terminology, bruh.
And this is what, yes, you are.
Like Boston rappers. Get that terminology?
Wow, I don't think anyone in a 20-mile radius is going to know what we're talking about. But yes. But yeah, Kanye did the beats. Okay, so.
Oh, nice.
But that's why I'm passionate when I tell you when you have these events at your store and you have all these guys that hang out and just shaking hands, smoking cigarette, and they don't do nothing.
They don't smoke cigarette anymore.
They vape. Okay, got it. But the bottom line is they're not buying nothing, okay? And I call them out each and every time I do the show, and I'm saying, you guys are a bunch of hip-hop peepers is what you guys are. And you guys are a bunch of cheap bastards, and you guys walking around thinking that you're going to shake hands, you think you're going to do nothing. That's why. And I'm gonna still do this despite the fact you're not on this show. I'm going to still promote and still wear the kind of shirts and all that kind of stuff. Because it doesn't, you need to, because just by yourself, you're by yourself in this business, right? Someone got to back you up here.
Thank you.
You know?
Got my back.
And that's it.
I got your back, bro.
So that's why all these guys, when you do these events, that's what
like,
I told you.
Toy Story, like Woody and this other guy, Roundup
Bill. Well, we're dressed like toys at this point, but then I'm just saying, you have these art shows, you have all these kinds, the guy with the mac and cheese, Rucka.
That was
a good event.
That was a great
event. That was a good event.
Shout out to Rucka, dude,
he
for real.
Made the food. People came. They bought
that
the food.
Was dope.
Smart thinking.
That was an interesting event because we had like the turn up kids there, the boom bap kids, the new school rappers.
But that was the I was there.
The lit kids, they're on fire.
Everybody was there, and people were spending money.
Yeah,
that's the thing. People need to support local. They need to support all these other guys, not just stand around, smoke, vape, you know, chew gum. I don't know, scratch. Do something. Shake hands. That's all people doing. Shaking hands.
That's Jamal's job, bro.
Speaking of Jamal.
What's Jamal coming today, dude? That'd be so awesome.
I text him,
Oh, okay.
But he's got to work.
Okay.
But speaking of Jamal, who will be on this show soon.
Yes.
I ran into him.
Oh.
Or he ran into me. When I DJed at Nobu this past Friday.
Fine establishment.
I put. As you know, Nobu, you just throw the money on the ground. It's an automatic
$300. Walk in, your wallet disappear.
You buy something for appetizers, $90,000.
You like going to these places that make your wallet disappear.
I'm DJing there. What do you want me to do?
You go all these fancy places,
I'm
bruh.
Not going anything fancy.
Need free rice, bruh.
Bring where they got free rice?
Sushi no King, bro. We going 10:30. Let's go.
Speaking of Sushi King, get parking now. Because the gym, the BJ Penn gym gone. So now no, you can actually seriously go. Egan Inouye,
bro. Egan Inouye, BJ Penn, same. Brought two different guys.
I don't have time to keep track. Errors, bro. I don't have time to keep track, but let me tell you something that we need to keep track on. Kilowatts. Who doesn't?
You don't need to put a tile tracker on him. You know the tile thing.
Oh, right. Throw him on you could do that, right?
Knock him out. But implant him with this.
Did you know he's no longer Kilowatts the Mongoose?
Yeah, he's Jamwatts, right?
No, he's just Kilowatts.
Oh.
He was like, hey, you know, hey, Zach, you know, just let you know, I don't want to kill us the mongoose anymore. Just kill Watts. He does that kind of thing. That's the
impersonation.
If you don't know who Jamal is, no, he's just Kilowatts.
He found the Fountain of Youth.
He never ages.
If anybody knows Jamal,
okay.
He looked like he aged like maybe 3-4 years.
Possibly, yes.
Yeah, it could be vampire blood, bro. I think
well,
so.
Well, Jamal, he's a guy we've known forever. He is a promoter. He's promoted many successful events in
many,
the hip-hop
many
world.
Many stories about that guy.
Quadraphonics. Yeah, told, many remember, things.
That, I never told my story on the podcast.
About what?
About when he went... I was about to do my radio show. No, I don't want to say it, dude.
You don't be that guy. Well, I got this story, but I'm not going
to
say
okay,
it.
Okay. I was about to do my radio show, right? So yeah. I'm walking in. It's about 8:45. Went to 7-Eleven University. Walked in. About to run out. Jamal comes in with these two chicks in bikinis. He's wearing a... what is that called? Board shorts, right?
Okay. Here we go. Let's go. It's late night.
So anyway, Jamal is known for some things in his life, okay? So
I know where you're going with this.
You see two fine-looking women in bikinis come in with Jamal, right? And I'm like, oh, Jamal, what's up? You come to the show. He's like, yeah, bro. He's wearing these shorts. And I'm like, oh, bro. And then I just walk out, bro. Walk out. That's the end of the story.
Oh, that's it. Okay.
That's it, bro. PG, cause.
Once again, if you... know who Jamal is. Promoter extraordinaire. Man of many talents.
That's a bad
He's
story.
An actor. That was a,
he's
that
the
was
man.
A pretty
no, dude, Jamal's the man.
Sick story by you.
Anyway, yeah. So that's my recap of what I did.
Okay. well, to segue back into okay. Jamal, the guy is on Facebook.
Yeah.
I posted that I was going to be DJing Nobu.
Yeah.
He came down. Right. He apparently lives near there. And he just came by himself. He just showed up. He just showed up, and then where I'm at, DJing at Nobu is by the door to the lounge. It's the entrance way okay. to the lounge. So Jamal's just standing there by me, right? And he, you know, he's got all his, you know, he's laughing and he's doing his comments, and you know, it's all very entertaining. And then all these people are walking in. He's pretty much the door guy, so he's like, "Hey, come on in, hey, no, be shy, come in, hey, okay, come on."
He knows
hey,
everybody.
Hey, how's it? And then the big thing happened. Literally for the next 2 hours, he knew everyone that walked by. Nobody.
Right, Jamal.
They all
everybody.
Came up and said what up to him. They all came, shook his hand. Every single, literally every single guy
let
and gal.
Interject real quick, okay? There's a point in my life where I was going to Sandy's every morning, right? To bodyboard, okay? Yeah. So I'd go 7 in the morning, okay? Yeah. Nobody on the beach.
Ooh.
Nobody. So I've been going for the whole summer. Go Sandy's. I come out of the water one time. Okay, the beach is empty.
You're bringing up board shorts again, aren't you?
No. Okay. Listen to the story.
Okay.
So I'm walking out, walking to the shower, right? Gotta go work. Guess who comes out of nowhere? Cavett. Turn my head. Jamal, bruh.
Yeah.
Jamal.
Not surprised.
Oh, what's up, bruh? How you doing? Yeah. It's 8 o'clock in the morning. I didn't see him on the beach. He literally popped out of nowhere. I was like, Jamal, what are you doing here? Wow. He's like, oh, bruh, I go beach in the morning. I was like, bruh, I've been at the beach. He literally is like, bruh, he's like a kahuna, bruh. Just poof.
He is. He's an alien.
No, I was like shocked because I was like, okay, so when you're in the water and you're looking out, I see nobody on the beach, right?
Right.
So I'm over there, catch a couple waves. You know, I try to do this little regimen for like the whole summer, go beach, go work. And literally comes out of nowhere. I don't know if he was like sleeping in the bushes, passed out. No, but it was like the freak. I was like, what the heck?
Right.
He literally, I'm walking to the showers. And boom, Jamal comes out of nowhere.
Right. He's an enigma.
And I even told him, Jamal, what the heck were you doing there?
Yeah.
He's like, yeah.
He's like, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, you know, yeah. I was like, that's
what he does, though.
He's a magic man.
That's what he does. And, you know, he's all about, you know, conspiracy theories and, you know, everything. But then, speaking of that, right, he has stories on stories, right?
Yeah.
So the magical thing he did that night, on Friday night. I don't know how it came up, but he would throw out random topics to me. Now, this is while I'm DJing now. So yeah. It was windy that night. So I got wind blowing over here.
Well, good thing you never had real turntables, huh?
Well, good thing. Everything would be kapakaka.
No, for real.
But then everything is... So I got wind. I got him yelling, talking comments, laughing. And then he would mention random people, like from the past, right. Like that I would know.
Wow.
Like I used to work at Umeke Market, okay. Right? And he would mention like... It came up in the topics, and then he was like, "Oh, so you know this girl that used to work at Umeke Market?" I'm like, "Well, I haven't seen her since then, but yeah, I know what you're talking about." Within the hour, that girl shows up to know
me.
This is Jamal, a true story.
He has voodoo dolls.
I'm like,
bro.
"How is this possible, Jamal? What? We were just talking about her." I'm like, "Yes, we were. What are we doing? How is she here?"
Bruh, Jamal is just got the bruh, Jamal.
Brings them in. It's amazing.
He's descendant of freaking, I don't know, bruh. A dire wolf and Stark clan, or I don't know.
Stark clan.
Bruh, I don't
know. Wow, that's good. Random references, but it was amazing.
He's a warg, bro. His eyes flip back. And
of course, right.
And he starts seeing visions and he meets people.
And he's bringing people in. He was shaking everybody's hand.
Did it happen again after that?
Yes. It happened two other times. There was one other guy. Hey, you know, Zach, he's mentioning these two guys. You're going to get so-and-so, you get him on the podcast. And then literally the two random guys he said are walking over. And it's like, oh, bro, I'm like, what? How are you doing this? I don't even remember who they were. It was like two local guys. I'm like, okay, you know, we just talked about you. I'm like, whoa. It was just amazing. It was just amazing. And then, of course, you know, then he goes into, yeah, you know, I think we should promote this night. And I think we make this night. And he's like, no.
Oh, no.
Let's not do that again. And then I played a 10, and he's like, Zach, can play 11. Play to 11. That's not my decision.
Oh, because they don't have a mic, bro.
Oh. It'll be over.
Come on, I want to get a great buddy babble to the moon.
It'll be over. No.
Yeah, he can still
speak. But he knew the employees. He knew guys in their 20s. He knew the manager.
Bro, Jamal's story.
And what?
Okay, remember Wu-Tang played at... The Groove
After Dark. Yeah.
And then I think Stone Groove was spinning outside, yeah?
Yeah.
So me and EP, what year was that? 97.
We
kind of knew everybody, but it was me and EP, and then we went to inside, and then went outside because it was open mic, right? And then Buzz was rhyming, and then Casper was rhyming. And,
yeah, that was a pretty like...
I think Timer was rhyming.
You had a tent.
Me and EP was... Cause we didn't really know that much people. We, you know, kind of get our feel. So we was kind of just watching everybody rhyme. Then Jamal comes out of nowhere. He starts rhyming. Then he starts, they were like, oh, this guy is sick. But then he never rhymed his own lyrics, bro.
Yeah. Yeah.
He rhymed Pharaoh Monch, bro. Yeah. Organized. He goes, even get him a graphic. Neo Geo 32 bit. I'm like, oh.
Very bizarre.
Me and EP was like, dude, he's spinning Pharaoh Monch's lyrics. So we're like, he's dope, but like, I mean, yeah, I don't think we fully met him yet.
Was that the only time that he was caught using someone else's lyrics?
No, I know he uses that a lot as a starter. I can remember is he always uses Pharaoh Monch lyrics as that Pharaoh Monch lyrics.
And then
lyrics
he goes into his thing.
Yeah, then he goes off. But he did like the whole verse.
Right.
And dude, on the real, it was really sick though.
Right.
But, you know, 97, 98, you're like, fuck this guy. Like,
of course.
But it was hard because he was dope.
Right.
So he was doing it dope. It's hard to do Pharaoh Monch dope.
Right.
But he did all those lyrics. Like, even get him a graphic. Neo Geo 32 bit.
That was his style.
Yeah, that was his style. And he was doing that. We're like, oh.
Right,
and we're like, and then we didn't really know who he was, but you know, eventually we met him, and he took us to it was a club in Waikiki, around 90s, Valentino's. So Jamal introduced us to a lot of people
because that was the spot.
Yeah, but I mean, that's another Jamal story. It just keeps popping up. So. Right. Anyway,
and then it went to him doing the song at AC Alone.
Right, he did
with Capital Fat. He brought down AC Alone, and then the whole thing evolved. That's right, man.
Something in South Central to the sandy beaches of Waikiki. Yeah.
I think you can find that on YouTube.
Dude, I'm free. Free. Dude, that song is so. Oh, shout out to Danny One because it was his production.
Because that was 97, 98, right?
Yeah.
98 ish.
Yeah, that was homegrown.
That was pretty groundbreaking. I was like, oh, AC Alone.
Dude, that song is sick. Like, so, him and AC killed it. And then there was a posse cut with AC. Were you on it? AC, Jamal, and all the Nakas. That was dope too. Like, dude, but I think Jamal's collab versus with AC was like perfect, dude. Like, they just bounced back and forth.
That was a great show though, too. The whole Capital Fat scene. Well, we're going to get into that later.
Yeah.
I have a thing about that.
That was super dope, man. When AC got both of the mics and then
so.
He started like bagging. He let people freestyle and he freaking murked. He killed everybody. Yeah. Anyway,
that was a whole other thing. But
Jamal got stories.
Jamal's gonna come on this. He's already said. Shout out Jamal. But yeah, let's go. We're gonna reminisce some more about the years of hip hop. We're gonna do our special Rushmore tonight.
Okay.
So let's go. Let's go take a break here, and then we will come back with the Rushmore. Also, we didn't announce who our guest.
Are we announcing it now?
Let's do it. Let's do it. The build.
Well, it fits in perfectly. Is what we're thinking.
Exactly. We gotta say
it's perfect, like a 6 and a 9.
Say, announce it, bro. Who is it? Who's
your the surprise? Friend, what? I'm doing it.
Yes. Oh, you're the guest here. Let's go.
Your friend and ours, your favorite artist. Yes. Is he your favorite artist?
I have like 4 of his things.
Oh, nice. His name is, well, we call him Timer. We know him as Timer.
Yes.
But he now goes, this guy has a billion different names and a billion crews. Yeah. And he can break it down for you. But I think it's dope. It's almost like next level rebranding.
But I have a statement to make to that gentleman when he comes
up. But
I have something I have to say to him. That I've never said to him before.
Oh, bro.
You like it? You like go eat it?
No, but...
No, I'm just saying. Just continue with your whatever you're
going to say. I just like it because it's like different... through the years, it's like different pockets of like people.
Yes.
Artists. So they all kind of have a different like, you know... It just kind of evolves.
Into evolution. Like, you got to change with the times.
It's dope. And he's done that very well.
Yes.
Angry Robots to the people. Woes, Martin. Timer to us. Yeah. Hidden Habitats. You got... crazy crew right now with a super dope artist that is what you call it, escaping my mind. Also DJ now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Only rightfully so, on the real.
Yeah.
Because the dude knows his music.
Exactly. No, only fitting.
It's one of those ones where, you know, like Shepherd became a DJ.
Yeah.
Shepherd. And his is more like, he's into like punk. He knows some hip hop. He sucks.
But on that note, let's take a break.
Anyway, so it's Angry Robots, aka Timer to us.
Yes, sir.
Sleep Time's Over. Kevin the Catalyst, DJ Zach Morris here at High Bra. Shout out to the Lord and everybody that came through.
Yes, woo! Thank you, everyone.
Sleep Time's Over. We'll be right back. Sleep Time's Over is back with another banger.
Sleep Time's Over. Kevin the Catalyst, DJ Zach Morris. The Christmas episode.
Yes.
Nice shirt you got there, buddy.
Hey, thanks. So do you.
Jingle balls.
Yep. Jingle them all.
Who's jingling whose balls?
Oh, let's not find out the answer to that.
Who's jingling whose balls?
You know, a lot of
you know, I'm trying to get everything out because I might not be on the podcast.
Is that right? That's it. We'll be sending you out of here. That's
get
it.
Get out of here, bro.
Sending you back to where you came from. So... Let's get into this.
What are we doing?
I want to do a couple of take time, waste time with you.
Okay? Let's do it.
We gotta address this.
I do miss this a lot. I miss take time, waste time.
You, bro. I'm just saying.
Thank you, take time, waste time.
Yeah, okay.
I miss you too.
Take time, waste time misses you.
Oh, yes. I miss you too, Kevin.
If I go call up the staff.
Oh, I miss you too, take time, waste
okay,
time.
Okay, enough. Let's go. We gotta talk about this. Eminem coming to Los Stadium.
Bruh.
Take time, waste time.
Waste time.
You got that right, waste time. Nobody gonna give a damn.
Listen to this, bro.
Forget it.
Listen to this.
You want more tetanus at Los Stadium? You want to bring the tetanus over?
Bro,
let's go.
I was at Bruno Mars. Okay.
Yeah.
Shout out to my plug.
That's right. You went to Bruno Mars.
Yeah, I got the plug on that one. I got to take my kids. It was good. I got to take my kids and got to see a show. You're going to remember it forever. Bruno Mars is perfect for the family.
Yeah.
I do not want to see Eminem in the stadium.
Exactly.
What are you going to do? Make everybody get mad.
Exactly. What is it? He's going to say Stan. And then we all cry in the stadium. Forget it.
He's gonna want
you know what they're gonna do, right? You know the phone. They're gonna do the thing with the phone. Ridiculous.
Someone should go up there and sneak up there and then battle rap him.
All right, great.
So anyway, I'm back to Eminem. Okay, you're gonna have one dude in the middle of the stage with this thing is
with
huge.
A sweatshirt. Yeah,
he's with gonna the, with sweatshirt. Yeah, sweatshirt. Not dancing.
Hoodie.
No live band.
Nope.
No dancers.
Nope.
No opening act.
Nope.
Eminem rapping. I mean, come on. I mean,
no fireworks, no tank coming.
I want to see Eminem at Pizza.
Right.
Beetroot, bro.
Eminem is an intimate type of rapper. He's not a guy you're gonna put in a stadium.
Exactly. I want to see him like more intimate, as in like Republic.
Right.
Because he spits bars.
I mean, even Blaisdell, fine.
Yeah.
You know what what the strategy is? I'm thinking
money.
Well, he didn't want to do multiple shows.
Oh,
so we just put them all in one time. We get all the 20,000 guys. Instead of doing like 4 sold out 6,000 shows, let's just do, because I'm tired, I'm going to make the 20,000 show.
That's probably
what Guns N' Roses was thinking. That's probably what the Eagles was thinking.
Guns N' Roses, at least they have a whole band, you know?
True, but...
Like guitar, you know, like...
But they could have easily sold out Blaisdell, though.
Oh.
6,000 in Blaisdell, right? And they could do a multiple three-show sellout. But they probably didn't want to do that. They probably got convinced that they do one show.
But live band is understandable.
That's understandable, right? You have things going on, different
because,
things.
Yeah, things going on.
Eminem, you just have a guy.
That's what I mean. Like, I don't think he raps with a live band.
Of course not.
Right?
No.
He might
do as a gimmick.
I mean, I don't know about paying $100.
That's right, because he's gonna have to step it up. That's right, because he has a stadium. He has this whole space. He's got to do it. He's gonna probably
What's your favorite Eminem song?
I don't know. Special guest, maybe.
I think so. I like Eminem. Okay, I don't love him. I like Eminem.
Name 5 Eminem songs.
Stand in the place where you were. Stand and deliver.
I am.
Stand by me. And
I wasn't a fan of
Stuttering Stan.
Stuttering Stan, shout out Minnesota Viking.
The only
song that I ever cared about was when in 98 he released I Just Don't Give
A. I Just Don't Give A.
Which was the independent version, not the Dre produced one.
Oh no, I played his first album on the show. His first
Shady
EP, I think it was.
Right. That was fine.
And then the homie Dose battled him, Juice.
Yes.
That's Juice what's crazy. It's crazy is that I was literally like two people away, technically one hip hop artist away from Eminem. Yeah. I mean, you know, you do like the Kevin Bacon thing.
Yeah.
Six degrees
of Kevin.
Yeah, I told my wife, like, literally I'm one person away. I was technically one person away that I could call that either was with Eminem, battled Eminem, or probably even like did music with Eminem.
Right.
Which is crazy. Even Dilla too, when I think about it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like Redmatic, Dilla. And you think about hip hop wise, how long we've been around. It's like, man, like we were literally steps away from legends. You know what I mean?
That's how close-knit it was.
My homie moved next to Fife before he died.
Right.
So I was literally, I was one person away from Fife.
Right.
It's the craziest thing.
It's that niche community. That's what it is.
But anyway, I wouldn't waste money on them. No, but you know what? People are going to go.
I told you. I refuse to go to Los Angeles. I'm never going to go back.
Spaghetti, dried and ready. Eat confetti.
That's just a sample of what you're going to hear, everyone. 30,000 of you. No.
I forget those lyrics already. Palms are sweaty.
That's one. Yeah, Chris, that I recall.
What is his name? Chris D'Elia. That guy who does.
Chris D'Elia. Yes.
Dude.
Yes.
That guy. You just have him cut his hair, bleach his hair, go up on stage. You
might as well just have a moms impersonator.
Warm in the Guam.
You used to rhyme Morpheus. You know, you used to remember Brother Davey? You used to rhyme like that.
Bro Davey, yeah.
Bro Davey, Oliver, you used to rhyme like that. Morpheus. I listened to the controls. Nobody knows what it is.
But anyway, so waste time
of this.
We took time.
But speaking of Eminem, this is probably the only time I'm ever going to agree with this gentleman that I'm going to bring up to you right now. A man by the name of Gucci Mane. You've heard of Gucci
Mane? I heard of Gucci Mane. I don't know one song from him, though.
I know -69 songs of Gucci Mane. Yeah. But I have to agree with him where he came out and he said, no one is listening to Eminem in the car. There is no one listening to Eminem in the car. He needs to change his name from the King of Rap.
What, like
no
daily? One. Like daily, you mean?
Like, who is really honestly listening in the driving around in the car, listening to the Eminem album?
I don't know that.
I mean, that's the only time I really bump him.
Yeah, that's true. I guess in the car. I mean, every now and then, like when he first, when he did the battle rapping thing with Machine Gun Kelly. I'll listen to him. I won't, like, it's not in rotation.
Okay.
My rotation right now really is.
Yeah, what's
it? Is the Eric B. and Rakim Pandora Station. Which is dope because it's a really good one. And then, what's his name? Questlove's Supreme podcast.
Oh, yeah.
And then Punele.
Hey, all right.
Bro, freaking dope album.
Shout out Punele, yes.
And that's my rotation right now, actually.
All right, wow. Three things.
And then Tribe Vibe Head Beats, bruh.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good beat. Sorry, you make you battle anybody.
So with that said, we'll move on.
New beat tonight, 50 and 25.
Oh, sorry, man. See, you ready. You're ready to promote all these things. You're ready.
This is
like clockwork. Media train.
I'm working on my alias.
Okay, speaking of media train, I got to throw this one out at you because we're going to talk about some kind of local thing. Tulsi Gabbard. She's going to, I told you, she's going to run for president, bro.
Yes, Yahoo.
Take time, waste time, Tulsi.
She's waste time.
Correct.
She go, where she went? Saudi Arabia to go buy fake Gucci and go talk story.
She going to sell them to all the Hare Krishnas in Kailua right now.
Yeah, she did that, right? She went to Pakistan, right? To be like,
yes.
To get, I don't know, oil of Olay or something for skin. And then she come back and everybody like, why she went over there for? Who knows why she went over there? Like, why you went over there, girl? That she went for president.
I told you this when she has an agenda.
No, she's an agenda.
She's got an agenda because she used to work. I'm going to tell you this. She used to work down on Earth. She used to work and her dad, Hare Krishna. Yes. He knows the guru. They can come. They can come talk to me. Let's go. I'll tell you this.
Step to the road.
Step
like
to the
say.
Road, son. Because I'm going to tell you. She is a snake in the grass. And I don't know. She's going to do something ridiculous.
Yeah.
She's planning and she's plotting and she's maneuvering.
You know, I don't like people. Like people are going to say we're talking like this because she's a woman.
No, this has nothing to do with it.
I have nothing to do with it, dude.
No, because she...
Respect all women. I love women. I'm married to a woman.
That's the last...
I was raised from a woman. Made from a woman. Shout out to Tupac.
Yeah, that's right. Got it. For some reason, I thought of like Shaquille O'Neal. Biological didn't bother me.
Oh, wow.
Feels my dad now because my biological didn't bother.
You know I got skills.
There you go.
Anyway, no, that's Fu's money, bro. She has an agenda. She's not going to be president because...
No.
She got to go to that special, what is that called? That camp that they have for the Illuminati to ride the canoe across the lake. And then they
there you
the
go.
Fire
shout out Jimmy Iovine.
Look at the all-seeing eye. Hey,
shout
and
out Dr. Dre.
Hieroglyphics. Listen to right. the, you never know.
Well, you, look
backwards.
At that. Who else? She's going to run Democrat, though. There's no one else. Think about it. She's probably going to get Bernie Sanders to be vice president. All like
Bernie Sanders is like
75
the gold,
years
yeah.
old.
Yes. I should run for president and ask Bernie for
well, that's why Hillary screwed up.
President of OHA and then make Bernie Sanders.
Okay. No, I want to talk to you about OHA right now. I'm going to say something about OHA because I don't get a chance to do this. Because
I've never on the podcast.
Correct.
Okay, go ahead.
And
go
then the Jaylene's Filipino black, so I cannot talk Hawaiian issues.
Oh, nice.
Because I told you, I'm the only one that watched the OHA debate.
Yeah, you're the only Hapa guy that watched OHA debate.
Yes, I was pissed off because all these Hawaiians don't know what the hell they're doing.
Hawaiians don't know
They don't even know where to go eat, if you remember.
Right.
You asked them, where do you want to go
eat? And she won.
The idiot won.
She won.
Shaka for a kaka.
At home.
Forget it. So I'm just saying, what's the end game of this whole thing? Because they're getting audited hourly. They're not giving the small local business money.
No, nobody giving me money.
They're giving it to the lesbian princess. Okay.
Yeah, she get but she
with
gets,
the crazy dementia.
But I think she give a picture on IG holding one stack of ones like this, bro.
Nah, I'm not gonna follow her.
Okay, next.
Okay. Okay, that's it. Okay.
Yeah.
You're good. I'm just saying, I'm pissed off at OHA still. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, good. You still be mad. I have to forgive and forget.
I back you up, bro. I told you. I'm saying OHA
like
is
said,
in trouble.
Like I said, okay? Again, bro. I think I would win OHA.
You need to get the loan is what you need to do.
I need the loan, but I'll go into OHA and get my own loan.
All right.
Go in the, imagine me going into the bank. See, King Kamehameha's cape. When the kind of man
so
who
what
they,
what,
get the money, let I bro.
Do your thing and you do that, yeah. Well, so you better. The time is now, man. Money talks, bro.
Time is now.
That's right. Time's up. OC. Okay. Let's go into the Mount Rushmore for... This
wow. Okay,
let's just go right into that. Right?
Morpheus.
Morpheus controls Attica Blues. Moax.
Remix.
No one gives a damn about Moax in 2018.
Okay. Shout out to Eminem, by the way.
Shout out to Eminem. Right? Shout out to Brother Davey. Shout out to Oliver Twist. Yeah. Okay.
I could roast. Dude, any underground head and my homies could freaking murk Eminem in a rap battle. All
right. Okay.
Right now, bruh.
Okay.
Timer, come up here. Smoke him, bruh. Get him in a cypher.
We're going to discuss that later. Yes. We're going to discuss that later. But being that's the end of the year, it's the end of 2018. 2019's coming up. We're going to go into the Mount Rushmore of the most pivotal years in hip-hop music.
Woo! Okay?
So the most years that were the most influential to yourself.
Right.
The thing that changed the landscape of the rap music, as they call it.
Right.
So you want me to start or you start? Or you have a,
how should we do this? You want to start?
I guess. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
So basically the years, the Mount Rushmore of years of hip hop.
That influenced you.
Influenced you.
Yeah.
Right. I got it.
So I'm going to go chronological from oldest to newest.
Okay. Oldest.
Oldest to newest to make sense, right? I don't know what you're going to do. I don't know. Who you texting?
Bro, I just guessed it right now, bro.
Guess I'm out, bro. Okay, so let's go. I'm going to go and start with 1993.
Oh, nice.
One.
Okay. Let me look.
1993, as growing up, Funk Pistol.
Oh, wow.
Was big prevalent in 93.
Radio
Free Hawaii.
Yeah, 93.
The first ever hip hop show, which won by 5 votes. I'll never forget this. They added a ballot. Radio Free Hawaii, if you know, was a ballot.
Yeah,
a station
right.
that played whatever. You would vote the songs you'd want on there. And they had a pretty much a survey. Do you want a hip hop show on Radio Free?
Right.
It won by 5 votes. It barely won.
Wow.
And I was like, wow, people just don't like this kind of crap. So they won and it became, the show was the all looked out. What was it called? The All Loked Out Hip Hop Show, which made no sense.
Who hosted it?
It was Kathy with a K.
Well, yeah. Hey, you got to get her on here.
Kathy with a K was a host.
Okay, get and her on here, get Speedy
they played
on
the, yeah, and remember the brass music?
Oh, yeah. Brass label.
That was a big thing.
Cover.
Acid jazz was big.
Yeah, acid jazz.
Brass music was big. So that was my first exposure to hip hop and jazz. And then at that same time, Freestyle Fellowship's album came out where they did a lot of jazz influence. And that was a real prevalent thing. Black Moon in the fall of 93 came out.
Oh, there you go, bro.
So it was a Mischief 93 till Infinity came out. I mean, it's 93.
Great, yeah.
Wu-Tang came out in 93.
Yeah, Midnight Marauders.
Balloon Mind State, which is, I have to say, is my favorite De La album. I don't know. I mean, a lot of people are going to say no, but I Am IB is one of the best De La songs.
Alcoholics 21 and Over.
Yes.
Alcoholics is one of the most slept on West Coast crews
totally agree.
Ever.
Totally agree. Yeah.
They have three great albums, right? Three good albums. 21 and Over.
They had Liquidation.
Liquidation and
Coast to Coast. The second album was Coast to Coast.
Freaking three great albums.
Yeah.
I mean, two really great ones, dude.
Well, the first album was just totally.
I love that stuff.
Every dude. Song was great.
Freaking
right.
Oh gosh, I can
yeah, King that. T production.
King T, shout out to King T, bro.
No, really. And then the fall of 93. If you remember, this is the infamous time where you had Doggy Style came out.
Okay.
This was like November 23rd.
Right.
The same day as No Need for Alarm.
Wow.
Del came out, and then earlier that month was Midnight Marauders.
Yeah.
Right. It was a time where I just remember like everything was just coming out, and you felt like. Because nobody was into this stuff, so I felt like this kind of just I was the only guy because I didn't.
I mean,
meet
in karate, you probably was the only guy.
Right? Because well, this is freshman for me. I was freshman year.
Okay. 93.
So, this is 93, and I knew zero people that listened to any of this.
Right.
And I was always would question myself, what? How come I'm the only guy listening to that?
Right.
Without knowing anyone, right? Listening to KTUH, right? Listening to Radio Free. So it was just I felt like the most comfortable in my skin. Listening as far as the hip hop music goes was 93. I was like, wow, where is this gonna go? Right? So there you go, it's 93.
And did you buy the Hieroglyphics documentary?
No,
93 too. Everybody go out there and buy it. It comes in a cassette, USB cassette.
Yeah,
you'll open it. I bought it $40. Yeah. It's probably one of the best documentaries about a crew and a song, an album. Yeah. They go over each track. On 93.
Oh, okay, so very, very thorough. You're
every
saying.
Track. And who produced it?
Right.
They talk about how they met, who they worked with, influences. Right. It's like the greatest, one of the greatest documentaries.
Yes, well,
definitely. I don't know why Netflix didn't pick it up yet. But
what you 93, got?
I have 93 on mine too.
Okay, you got 93.
One of the, kind of like the Fellowship of the East Coast was released in 93. Leaders of a New School, Time.
Yeah.
The Inner Mind's Eye.
Were you a fan of that album?
I like that album.
Because, you know, that was the album that led them to break up, right?
But, yeah.
But it was still a good album.
That's a great album.
Spontaneous was an excellent song. Spontaneous is a 5-mic song.
What's Next is good. The whole album is really good. Right. They just let what's his name, rhyme too much. The DJ.
Dinko D?
Not
Dinko D. Milo.
Come on, Milo.
Yeah.
He rhymed a little bit. He had the longest verse in What's Next.
They gave him too much stuff.
He's dope, though. I like him. He's dope. Kind of like a Jarobi. But Time is dope. Spontaneous. I know that's like Timer's like favorite song.
That song would always get everybody crazy.
Yeah. And it's weird
at KCC rave.
It's not a
UH
high beat.
Rave.
It's
just
it's like doo doo doo.
But that's what I. Well, we're gonna get to the Hawaii hip hop. That's one of the things. Okay, so you got 93.
93. Okay.
And what else you have?
Shoot, I'm just gonna go to 1994.
Okay, that's good. Okay, let's go 94.
Nas, Biggie, Outkast. Warren G, Gangsta,
everybody is
going to
say 94, yes.
Common.
Organized Confusion.
O.C., J.Ru. Gravediggers.
All the
Communication.
All the albums, all the Boombappers love.
Rah.
Yeah.
Rah, Artifacts.
Yeah.
UGK.
Yeah.
Yeah, P-Rock Seals. Boogie Monsters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was the best year, right? I mean, as
Fuji's
everybody's going to say.
Good album. And the number one album, Boxcar Sessions, boo.
Oh. Wow, there's a shocker.
One bad thing of that year, Lords of the Underground released their second album. It wasn't that good.
That was not good. No.
Keepers of the Funk.
TikTok and Get Out of Here.
TikTok was so sad. Garbage. It's kind of like UMC's second album.
That was trash.
Right? The Ill Demonic Click, where they tried to become Wu-Tang.
Yes.
Uno, dos, tres, cuatro.
Nobody's going to know that. That's how they started the song. That alone should give you a sign. It's trash.
But Fear Itself was released.
Casual. Yeah.
Oh, dude, Keith Murray.
Yep.
Still yet to this day, I think Keith Murray set the trend for people naming their rap names their real names.
That is true.
Because when he came out, you're like, Keith Murray.
Right. It caught us off.
What? Right. Wait, what's his name? Keith Murray?
Right.
Then a song came on, like, And he was like the East Coast dude, like spectacular, crackula.
Right.
You know, hit you with the spatula.
Well, because when we first saw Keith Murray was on Yo MTV Raps in Hostel.
Yeah.
Oh, Hostile. The Eric Sermon
dude,
song.
Dude, I get chicken skin every time we hear Hostel.
So like, because that's what we had back in the day. We had Yo MTV Raps, so we watched these videos.
Dude.
And that influenced us growing up. And yeah. That led to all of these.
Ooh, I might lose my cool. If you got a damn light, if you got a crew, you better tell them. Like, goes, oh, fuck.
That's what we grew up
dude, with. Hostile is like my favorite. It's got to be my favorite Keith Murray verse.
Oh, yeah.
Because he just comes in out of nowhere. Because right. He's working with EPMD. And they're like funk smooth, right? Eric Sermon, he got Illegal going on. He yeah. Get into the roughness.
But he had that
but
soul.
Then Keith Murray just came in. Yeah. Keith Murray. Right. You're like,
and then the video, when you watch the video, is just the visual of that too.
Walking
just
down excellent. And
they're in like a basement or something. It's like got like
the headphones on, everybody's screaming. But dude, Keith Murray, if you don't know people, listen to Hostile. And like, dude, Keith Murray's verse will like, is almost perfect, dude.
See, if we had a sound guy tonight,
yeah,
he would play that song right now. But then.
Anyway, I can talk about that now, dude.
Right.
Okay. 94, great year, Beatnuts. Bush Babies. Yeah.
The Beatnuts, shout out to the Beatnuts album.
Yeah.
Yeah. The street level.
3-6. Dude, MC Breed, rest in peace. No MC Breed, funny.
Yeah.
This one was Funkified. This is when he got kind of...
That was when we
got
to get mine with Tupac.
Yeah. So,
which was a good song. Here.
Detroit. He had... Dude.
DFC.
Yeah.
MC Breed. Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, was that?
Rock.
Oh, J-Rube. Yeah,
J-Rube, right.
Second album, yeah.
The first album?
The first album was 94.
Yep.
Oh.
Wrath of the Math. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But you can't contest 94.
Yeah. So. I love it, dude. Oh, I'm old. I don't. You know what's funny with the whole thing of being old? I don't really give a F already.
Hey.
Because I think about it, I'm like, dude, like, we lived freaking to a great, like they say golden era. I don't know how I was in the 80s. I'm not that old. But, like,
well,
dude, 90s is like.
We've talked about this. Then, like, right. For what we were into, it was the climax of what we were into.
And even in Hawaii, kids now don't have ciphers like we had ciphers. The community isn't like the community before, where you'd battle literally your friends from other places.
Yeah.
But like, you could still go to the same clubs. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean?
Well, now you just Skype them. Now you just go and you IG them. You're not going to battle. You're going to hide.
That's the problem with music nowadays locally, is because nobody is, there's no push and pull. There's no friction. Right. It's everybody just stays behind their computer. And when they go out, they just make like, oh, hey. And they talk crap. And then they come and see each other. And they're like, oh. But nah, dude, back in the day, it was like, a cypher would start, and then somebody would start battling, like, straight off the bat. But it was more like iron sharpens iron kind of deal.
And that's the thing.
I haven't seen a kid ever... You know, it's funny. That was, hey, what? You can rhyme. And I just sit there in the cypher. I don't feel it, dude. Like, I really don't. I have nothing in my creative anything.
Well, it's a
wants
thing.
Me to go. I try, and I'm just like, I can't do it.
It's days gone by.
Nobody in the cypher excites me. Like,
right.
Because usually you hear your homie... And you see, and then you see Omega 6. You're like, shit, I got another 6.
Right.
And then you go around. And
right. You don't have that.
But there's nobody like a 6. You know what I mean?
No.
You know what I mean? Or like when some of your homies catch the vibe and they're just killing it. You know what I mean? Like, it's like.
The feeling isn't there.
I got to go after that dude. Right. But you just go, right? And then you catch it. Sometimes you screw up. You laugh and you kick it. And then the next person goes on.
Right.
And, you know what I mean? But doesn't. I mean,
it has no soul.
I think there's kids still cipher, I think. I mean, I've been to some concerts and then. There's a little cipher in the corner. Well, you know what I mean? It makes me kind of happy, but like the time when I used to like want to just get in there,
I
like rah. It's like,
no.
You know what I mean? Right. Because the music that's out now doesn't, what's that called?
It has no soul.
It doesn't breed ciphering. You know what I mean?
No, it doesn't.
Yeah.
Because they don't use samples anymore. It's very robotic. It's one word.
A lot of hooks.
Right? The songs are shorter.
You don't need
talent.
All
kind of various things you can say.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
And people, and the kids nowadays out there, if you're listening to this, the people that say like, yo, check out my boom bap style. Or, this is my trap rap. Like, nah, dude. You either are or you ain't, and just don't step over the line. Like,
right.
You're either going to make music of what comes out of you.
Right.
And if it's like the trappy whack crap, that's just what you are. Trap, you whack. You know what I mean? But if you like, shout out to Paradigm. The kid is sick. You know what I mean? Kids need food.
Yeah.
Things are coming out of them.
Right.
They'll think that the raps that are coming out of them, music coming out of them, is what's truly them. You know what I mean? So they don't got to label themselves like, oh, this is my boom bap. You know what I mean? Or like producers nowadays, they put on top their labels. Soldier Boy beat. You know what I mean? Like, oh, this is my Swiss beats
Mike
sounding beat.
Yeah.
This is my Jake One sounding beat. It's like, nah, you make beats and this is what you make. You know what I mean? It's what comes out of you anyway.
See, don't you miss doing this?
But I'm just venting.
See, look at this. That's basically what you would do every week.
That's kind of true, anyway. Anyway, next.
Okay, next.
Oh,
next year.
Tired.
All right.
Okay, let's go. We're about to get the same one.
Okay, shut up.
So, 93, 94, you agree?
No, yeah, of course 94, I would agree.
Let's go.
Yeah, but in my Rushmore, I did not put 94.
Wow.
I did not.
Wow.
This is
why. Look at the crowd is booing
you. Oh, everybody, let me step to the row once again.
No, the row
is
closed.
This is why.
Restaurant row, closed.
As far as influence, it does close. It sucks there. No.
Yeah, it's kind of, we were just talking about that. You used to go to those clubs over there?
No.
Oh, okay, anyway.
Okay, so reason why I did not put that.
Wow.
Is because 93.
Till infinity.
Yay. But it's, I'm just going to say this right now. The year is 1995 that I put next. Because 93 led to the perfect year that was 94.
Okay.
Which you could see coming if you were into it 93. Because
yeah,
in the fall of 93, you have all these great albums coming out, right? All these bangers coming out in the fall, not November.
Right.
So you know 94 is on its way.
Right.
And it took off, which it did.
Right.
95 was the one where I felt...
Okay, so that's your next one.
1995 is where nothing can get any better than this. This
wow,
is it.
Wow, nothing can get any
because
better?
We got so many different groups. Everything is in full swing. 94 is coming in strong.
Okay.
Then you have all of the different mediums that we could find out about because Yom Tee Raps ended at this point.
Oh,
right.
Okay.
They went off the air 95. So like, what are we gonna do to figure out what we like?
Right.
We don't know. But then you had all the influx of the Flavor magazine, Rap Sheet, Rap Pages. Right.
Well, I got all
Source.
That.
We had them all, right?
I still have all those.
You had the box, the video music box. Request. You just request Sir Mix-a-Lot, put them on the glass. That's all you're requesting.
I think that's all you're doing. I think it's
$2.
Master Ace like million times on that dang
right.
thing.
Or Bone Thugs and Bloods and Crips. I wish you were here.
Yeah.
Bloods and Crips.
Bloods and Crips.
That was on every moment.
Somehow gangsters got someone's credit card, bro. They just doing that. Beep, 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 beep.
How do you do this? How do you do this? Okay, so for people that don't know.
Or Drew,
the box.
What was another one? This was dedicated to my Gangsterling.
Gangsterling. DRS.
Dude, they play that all the time in the box. I watched the box like, huh, Gangsterling again?
They play Black Moon, they play KRS a lot. So for the people that don't know, it was a channel, 24-hour music channel that would only play videos if you requested them.
And you had to pay for it.
You'd have to call a 900 number, and it was $2 a video. And you would dial in, they'd have the different videos, the numbers, the three-digit number.
Yeah.
You have to just write the digit number before it goes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then you call them up, da-da-da-da-da, they play the video.
Crazy, man.
So then we'd always see funny, I wish you were here.
They played Wascals.
They played Wasco's Class Clown.
Yeah,
I remember
Class
seeing
Clown.
On there. But then you'd always want to get like the most obscure thing and just put it like AC Alone, mic check. Put it on there. Nobody gonna care. And then back to put them on the glass. And then back to DRS. It was always the same.
This was dedicated.
It was always the same. Like, who were these people? Like, don't you want to meet those guys? Like, who is constantly the gangster?
Did you ever try?
What, to meet these guys?
No, to put it in.
Oh, yeah, of course. I ran up the phone bill.
Oh, you tried?
Yeah, my mom was all pissed off.
Did it work, though?
Yeah, it did work.
Oh, wow.
And then, what is this bill for? What are you calling? I don't know. It was like $20.
$20
can get you a lot
choice
of videos.
Choice is yours. Choice is yours. Black Sheet. Choice is yours.
Put them on the glass.
Oh, you voted for put them on
and
the glass.
And it said put them on the glass on the bill. What does that mean?
Well, you get Asian mom, right?
Yeah. Even more so, she pissed off.
You have a job now?
What is all this? How come I get the black guy and get fired? What is that?
Well, you just wanted to see the chichis, huh?
Exactly. Because it was unedited, right? It was unedited videos.
Right. The late night, it was unedited.
They would show unedited videos. So if you watch YouTube, Sir Mix-a-Lot, put them on the glass. You'll thank me later.
Hey.
Okay, 95 was all of this stuff, right? Then you had Smith & Wesson album.
Oh, bruh.
The Roots.
I listened to Smith & Wesson album like now.
Well, The Roots came out in 93, but yeah, the first Roots, but then the second Roots. And
Which one? Wait. You're talking about the first
Roots? Philadelphia Life was 95. No,
okay.
I'm sorry.
Because their first album was...
Do You Want More?
No, Organics.
Organic, yes. Okay, we're
going to
go...
That came out...
That's the independent one. Yeah.
Back. Yeah.
Right. Then you go Do You Want More? Then you go Illadelph. And then you had Mobb Deep.
Okay. Do you want More or Illadelph? Which one's better?
Do You Want More was more unique.
Yeah.
Because nothing came out like that before.
Yeah, that's true.
There was a band. There was never a band. You tell people hip hop band, they laugh at you.
Yeah. Yes.
So that was unique. But the infamous Mobb Deep.
Oh, yeah.
The game changing album came out. Old Dirty Bastard came out. The Nonce. Black Alicious full length. Raekwon in the summer. Soul 69 was on KTUH, Running Hard.
Bruh, shout out to Taro. You know he's a
Mr.
Buddha.
E.
Mr. E is a monk, a Buddha monk.
Yeah, you told me that, yeah.
In New York.
Wow, Buddha monks in
and
the
he's
truck.
Like one of those head dude. Like he's like up there.
Yeah.
Like he can float and stuff.
Not literally. Awesome.
No, but he's one of the main, like,
he knows
New
Jamal.
York.
Yeah.
He knows Jamal. Of course he knows Jamal.
Of course. He can float like Jamal.
No, like, literally, he's like a big time, like, head Sifu monk. Okay. And he comes out for the lamp lighting ceremony.
Wow.
And he does the whole.
Oh, he
came to
the
shop to meet Sai. I see Mr. E came to the shop. I was like, dude.
Wow.
But he's like just a regular hip hop head.
Right.
When he's not in the, you know.
Right. That was every Thursday night, Soul 69.
Right. If it wasn't for Soul 69, it wouldn't be no late sleeper show.
Yeah, I have to say, because that set the tone for Thursday night.
And then
you always would talk about Valentino's. You got to show up for Valentino's.
Yeah, Big
DJXL, go get
Big D, right? He'd have a show after them.
Yes, Big D.
The Prude.
Those Prude guys. Yes.
Shout out to all those guys made, and there wouldn't be no Sleep Times Over.
Yeah, that's right. That's it. We all mock it already.
Yeah.
I'll never forget the Soul 69 I listened to where they announced that Pete Rock and CL Smooth broke up. And I was like, what?
Well, they announced
it? They announced it on the show. I'm like, how do you guys know? What? And we have the internet, right? How are we going to know this? And then they end up playing like main ingredient songs. I'm like, oh, I got sad. That was the first time I got sad listening to it.
So you know, I listened to an interview about those guys and there's like, they're static between them. Like, still yet. Pete Rock and CL Smooth. It's kind of sad, dude.
Ego. That's all it is.
Ego with Pride has.
So, yeah.
Okay.
95, Lab Cabin California came out. Liquid Swords came out.
Lab Cabin, I kind of slept on.
We all, really?
Not slept on, but like, I didn't give it.
As much.
Because, bro, when Bizarre Ride came out, it was so next level, mind-blowing.
Oh, yeah.
That when Lab Cabin came out, it was Dilla, right?
Yeah.
And Dilla came with just like the typical, not typical, but, you know, it was more like, boom, boom, you know.
Right.
But then
they totally changed their sound for Lab Cabin.
Yeah, because it was more organic, right?
Yeah.
It was more like Good Lifestyle.
Yeah.
With like live instruments, like,
right.
Who is the nigga? You know, all that kind of crazy zaniness. Then they toned it down.
Yeah.
And it took me a while to get used to that second Far Side.
Mm.
So when I first heard it, I was like, you know, you drop and all that stuff, like She Says. And,
right.
And then the more I listened to it,
I can see what you're saying.
It took me a while.
Because that production, we were accustomed to that.
Yeah, because you're talking about Far Side, these guys just think Your Mama was the first single.
Yeah.
Dude, Your Mama.
Like, it was a comedy group pretty much for the most part. And then they did Passing Me By. But then that whole sound changed.
Yeah.
Other Fish, 5 mics.
So when they went from that, you know what I mean? J Smooth, J Swift.
Right,
then they bounced it to Dilla.
Right.
It was just like, what the heck?
Right. So that's a big point. One more thing I want to throw out. Group Home.
Oh.
Living Proof came out in 95.
I can listen to Group
Home. I mean, come on. Really? Group Home. That's it?
I listen
every
to,
song
I listen
is banger.
Everything we talked about, I listened to like probably the other night.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good.
To Group Home. What's favorite track off of Group Home?
Oh, God.
Living Proof or...
Superstar? Are you comparing between the two or just favorite overall?
What was the third single? Kind of Up Against the Wall.
Up Against the Wall. And they had a remix of Up Against the Wall.
No, Living
and
Proof.
And then The Realness, you'd have...
The other one, the one they're in... After
Inner
they,
City.
After they finished watching Superstar, they're in the boys' home. And then they're talking like, yo, that's...
That was Living Proof.
Was it Living Proof?
Yeah, the video. You're talking about the video.
Yeah, the video. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so
Superstar
Proof,
was the
Superstar.
First single. Living Proof came out.
Yeah.
And every song on that album is a banger.
Malachi.
I mean, who cares if they can't rhyme for save their life?
Nah, Lil Dap.
But they couldn't rhyme, bro.
That was primo beats.
That's you put that on, they got it.
Two dudes that like.
I got 36 grams on the scale right now.
Hey,
I mean.
Hey, Lil Dap was hard, though. His rhymes was hard. And his voice was like.
They had good voices. They could just be mumbling any kind, but it worked.
It's the ongoing joke, even in that industry, about Malachi the Nutcracker. Because even when Primo gets interviewed about him, he kind of snickers like yeah, man, he would just
see.
Like, and but he was like maybe one of the first, like, he should have been in Dipset.
Yeah, it would work. Yeah. Well, Primo always had like guys who were like not the greatest. Crumb Snatcher.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, he had MOP. He was helping MOP out, which is good, but there was a lot of guys that were just whatever.
Big Sug,
right?
Which still has one of the dopest verses on Mobb Deep.
On Mobb Deep? Which one?
Was he on top? Give Up the Goods? No, was that him? No, that was...
Give Up the Goods? No, that wasn't... That was Big Noid, right?
Big Noid, my bad. Wrong Big.
Yeah,
sorry, Big.
Big Noid.
Big Noid. Yeah.
All the Bigs are good.
And by the way, that's my favorite Mobb Deep track.
Give Up the Goods.
That's
a good jam, yeah.
That beat is freaking fire.
That's 5 Mike song. Yeah.
Ooh, when I heard that beat, I was like, ah,
that's it. Oh, just, I'm going to swear already.
Yeah.
Okay, what you got next?
Okay, so we got 93, agree, 94, me, 95.
But
you.
I agree at 94.
I'm going to take it back, way back to 1991.
Oh, okay. Okay, why 91?
91 because, dude, I had to look this up because in my gut, my first one was like 90. I just wanted to start with 91.
Okay.
So boom, you got De La Soul's Dead, Death Certificate, Breaking Atoms, Niggas for Life, Cypress's first album.
Yes.
Groundbreaking.
That's
Tupacalypse Now, my favorite Tupac album.
That's Tupac's best album.
Wolf in Sheep's Clothing, Ghetto Boy's first album, Quick is the Name.
Yep.
Respect the Georges here. First Leaders of the New School.
Yes.
Ah. And the first KMD, Mr. Hood.
That's right.
But yeah. And then someone told me the other day that KMD was the first to use sped up samples to some extent. Someone was telling me this. Like, they're the first to use some. Like, you know how Kanye got famous for it?
Right.
To listen to KMD because they were the first.
Well, it makes sense because all their songs are like over 100 BPM anyway.
Dude, it's hard to mix, right?
That was the thing with, 1991, everybody wanted to go fast songs. Yeah. They want to be house, kind of. Right. Like Jungle Brothers. But yeah. KMD, good.
Don't Be Concerned, UMC's first album, LG's first album, Organized first album. Dude, you can go on. Tim Dog's first album.
You gotta put that in there?
Dude, look at this one. When I Googled hip hop albums released in 91, guess what pops up? Jodeci, Forever My Lady.
Wow. Yeah.
Freaking great album. Yeah. I could play that right now. I want the vinyl. Right. You have the vinyl?
Jodeci, picture that album? Cover? No, I don't have that one.
Dude.
I don't think they made one for that. I think that was promo only.
Yeah. I need that.
There's some nerd talk right now.
That's mad nerd talk.
Yeah.
Naughty by Nature is for
them. See, I think you chose that because you're a little bit older than me. I think that's what it is. Because it comes down to like what you were growing up as.
Well, I just, in my head,
I remember 91. But I just remembered fast stuff. And I was just like, it was okay. Like Black Sheep had an album, right? Didn't Black Sheep come out?
Yeah, Wolf in Sheep's Clothing.
It's like that album I liked a lot. Because it was different from like all the fast songs.
Yeah, that song, that one was.
Like, you know, De La Soul was Dead was making fast songs. Jungle Brothers making fast songs.
Yeah, that's true.
KMD,
you know, I think everything was coming out of like the 80s and the more housey era.
It was kinda the hip house thing.
Right, like, who's that?
Because D-Light was big, right?
Yeah.
Then they put Q-Tip on there to just add to the whole mess. So,
right. Like Two Kings and a Cypher was super. It's like 1990.
That was fast stuff.
That was super fast.
Yeah, that's why I just 91.
It was like mad hip hop nerd talk, dude. Like keep it moving already. So anyway, 91 was good. Let's go.
All right.
Let's get angry.
Okay, so this is the one that is gonna talk about Hawaii hip hop in that era.
Okay,
it's gonna talk about the gentleman that's gonna be coming on later. I went with 1998.
Oh.
Okay, I went with 98.
98.
Because that's kind of where I felt that hip-hop had to reinvent itself. Because if you looked at 96 and 97, what happened there was Bad Boy.
Yeah.
Oh. A lot of hip-hop R&B singers. Like hip-hop guy with the singer chorus. It got really commercial, really big. So then all the underground hip-hop that was in 95 was like, oh, what happened to all you guys?
Yeah.
And then you'd have Tribe would try and match that with Beats, Rhymes, and Life, which was not very good. Right. But they would have Faith Evans on a chorus, which you would never fathom having them have Faith Evans, right? You'd have the De La Soul album. They tried to update their sound.
Right.
You had a lot of guys that were like, they were trying to hang on. And what else? Illa Del Fa Life came out in that time, too. Illa Del Fa Life sounded, that was the most hip-hop sounding, boom-bap sounding album of all of the then Do You Want More?
Yeah.
Right? They went away from the organic style.
Yeah, there's more production on that one.
They went more production on
produced.
That one. Mobb Deep came out. Right. And then they had Hell on Earth, which was like the beginning of the end of Mobb Deep as far as like, that sound, okay, it sounded kind of, it's good, but you know, okay.
What year did they hook up with G-Unit? That was later on.
That was later on, yeah. That was when they're just holding on, yeah. But, so 96, I just looked at as a way that led to 97, which we didn't have much. We didn't know where this was going to go. We had Company Flow and Dr. Octagon. That's all we had.
You know what? In those eras, in the late 90s, you know what was happening? Is we were moving from being fans to making music. Because I started my show in 97.
You started your show in 97.
And that's when we all got 4-track recorders. We all started making beats.
I started DJing in 97.
So we started going from consumer to producers.
Right.
Because that's when I started meeting like Fame. I started meeting like, I met like the Kanye guys. And I met like Ebba Beach guys. And everybody was making like beats on their own, rhyming on their own, recording on tapes.
No, exactly right.
So to the late 90s was Puff Daddy. But I think we started doing
you'd have that was huge. And then you'd have all of that. You'd have the underground, which became Ruckus Records.
Yeah.
You'd have the Fondalum Records, Stone's Throw, ABB Records.
Right.
And then that's where you would lead to the new era of how we reinvented ourselves, where we would go out and meet people.
Right.
Borders Waikele, where we would go get records.
Yeah.
That was the only record store, really, that had good vinyl.
Two Girls was around, though?
Not yet.
98? 99?
It was coming 99?
99.
Todd was the one.
Yeah.
Shout out, Toad One.
Because when did Funk Pistol?
Funk Pistol was dying like 96 or 97.
It was fast, all right?
Yeah, so we had nothing except Jellies.
That's all
we had
was Jellies. Todd Records,
Smokin', and then you had Hungry Ear. And then that was it.
The beat?
Beat was only for club stuff, though. They would not sell any of stuff. So then we would find out.
Cuts?
Wahiwa was still there. That's right. Wahiwa was there. Yeah. So you catch the bus, go eat Wendy's after.
Yeah. The only place with Wendy's.
Only place Wendy's. Yeah. You go Choice Cut, go Wendy's.
That's right. Remember that?
What a combo.
To travel to Wahiwa just to eat Wendy's.
Yeah. I did.
How sad that was.
At the bus. let's talk about something else. Yes, it was sad. Yeah,
hey, get gas money, bro. Go Wendy's.
We got cars there.
We did that, dude.
I was driving by 98, so But that was the thing where 98, we kind of came out of our shells because we were like the guys that we thought we were the only guys that listened to hip hop. Right. Then we finally met other people.
Yeah.
That's when I first met a person like Jamal, for example.
Oh,
hey. That's when I met a person like Dell, for example. And it's all kind of led to the next DMFD. Just
a lot of
the
regrets
next.
Then. No.
This will be the only time I mention those three. But that's kind of how it evolved to how Hawaii hip hop became this thing where you'd have Invisible Ink.
Hawaii hip hop, it became an emergence in the late 90s.
Right. You'd have the Capital Fat. You'd have the Hidden Habitats.
I want to say, I don't want to say it.
Pussycat Lounge.
Yeah. Source,
which is now the Japanese market.
Source,
There you go. Yeah. Reading the Source, which is the only thing left that we had. And then we had that Source nightclub.
Yeah.
Which is now Japanese Market, Paksali.
Yeah, right? Go over there. Get the Iribiki sausage. See, everybody knows what I'm talking about.
A lot of...
You snap that bug on a team.
A lot of cryptic references using.
People laugh because they know. You know. Like,
well, but I think it's cryptic.
You know, the kimchi, you know, the cheap kimchi bowls?
Yeah.
You throw egg and that inside, bro. You feel like a king.
Oh. That's all you, bro.
Thank you.
Too salty.
Yes. But cookies, anybody?
Cookies over there.
Okay, come on.
So yeah, great album, Gangstar, Moment of Truth, right? Came out. Black Eyed Peas' first album. Remember those guys?
Yeah. I do remember. Yeah. Hey, the new album.
I gotta say, I listened to that again. It's pretty.
It's good.
They're back. They got the Holly singer out of there.
They got him out. Get there. Out.
Send him out. But this is a good album. Yes.
Nah.
Oh.
Nicole Scherzinger?
No, not Ken. Well, you know, she local girl. She's hot and she hot. Yeah, she local girl.
She local. Why not, cuss? Yeah, bro.
Okay, get chance then.
Get chance. Let's just throw Max Holloway on the crew, right?
Dude, you'll be the bodyguard.
Black Eyed Peas, man. Max Holloway.
Black Eyed Peas.
Max Holloway on everything, bro.
He'd be the guard. He'd just be the bodyguard of the whole thing. Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
So that was 98 as far as
things
changing.
That's the best error, The blessed error. What a booch.
Wow. We need a sound effect for that.
Yeah. Oh.
Okay, what else you got? Let's go.
Dude, that's, I don't know. I'm stoked that maybe just 92.
You talked about 92?
That's old. I think I'm good already. Yeah. I agree with you.
Wait, you... 90? So you got your four. That's it.
Yeah, that's it. I agree. Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
So we got 91, 93, 94, 95, and 1998.
98. Wait, and then I got one, 93, 95, and then 98. And then I had one last one. So we go 2002.
Are you in 2002 now?
2002 is my last one.
Wow. Okay, what came out of 2002?
Everything. Independent records. Everybody had a 12-inch record. Everybody had vinyl. Everybody had a song. Independent. Everything.
No, you're right. Doom released a lot of stuff in 2002.
You had Doom. You had Atmosphere, RJD2, J-Live, Cage. Every single freaking guy.
But that's what I mean. Like, because in the late 90s, everybody was making music, right?
Right.
That's what I feel like we kind of missed out. Is we didn't keep going hard with music. Because everybody that was in our sphere of making music, like you're saying, like the Cages, we were there. Like I when I look back on it now, we were right there. Like we Hawaii as in hip hop wise with Light Sleepers, Hidden Habitat, all of us guys, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We're all in the same like breath as like the Anacons and the Def Juxes before.
Because they were all coming up.
But nobody really took it and notched it, you know what I mean?
Right, to the next thing.
You know what I mean? To the next thing.
But there were literally so many groups, right? Yeah. Like we could just go back and forth and just think of, if you can just think of like spontaneously groups of Arsonists, Strange Fruit Project.
Oh yeah.
People Under the Stairs.
They retired.
Yes.
What's his name retired from People Under the Stairs, the producer.
Oh yeah?
Double K.
The OST?
That's one.
Oh.
He put out on Instagram, he retired from hip hop.
See, go figure. See, 2002 already.
He said he did 10 albums. He did over 20 years.
See?
He said he's tired.
Foreign Legion. Ugly Duckling.
Yeah.
We could just keep going. I mean, like, there's a million groups.
It was
so saturated. You could go Ab Records, Dilated Peoples, Rascal, Planet Asia.
And that era was the easiest to mix.
Because, you know, and that was why. Because they all sounded kind of the same.
And DJ, I remember that era was like the best era for instrumentals to freestyle.
Yeah.
And the best era to mix from record to record.
Because
everything was in between like
88 and 95 BPM.
Yeah, 95 BPM.
That's what it was. And it did so many unspoken heard.
Dude, you were the rep, right?
I was the rep for that. So that was how I came on your show.
Ishira Blue Black?
Yeah, Unspoken Heard, Seven Heads Entertainment.
And
they also represented J-Live.
J-Live, Fat John, like all those guys.
I've never mentioned that on the show. I used to be the rep for J-Live and Unspoken Heard and all those guys.
Yeah.
And I used to get the records. And then I'd bring them on your show and I'd play the song.
And then nobody cared.
Yeah.
Fantastic Damage. Shoot.
What else was on there?
Nonfiction.
Take a break here. Throw Nonfiction.
Little Brother. Oh, yeah. Little Brother.
7L and Esoteric.
Dude, Edan's first one. Eden. Plus.
Necro.
Remember Sing It Shit Face? I used to play it all the time. We used to play it too.
Yeah. The Controls.
The Controls came out then?
Atmosphere.
That's true. You know what's funny is, I was in San Francisco in 2002, 2003.
Yeah.
And I was digging for that. And I went to the bottom of Hate Street, Market and Hate. Yeah. And there's a House record store there. Right? And I was like, somebody told me, like, go check it out, right?
Because
House was still big.
Yeah.
So I was like, what am I going to find in a House record store? Okay. All House music. Walk in there, hip hop guy. So I was like, records, dude, just plasters. I'm like, fuck. And I just was like, dude, let's just go over there. And I just started digging, dude, Find Controls, Doubles.
Yeah, they had a lot of the Moax.
Because it was a Smile.
Down Tempo.
Remember?
Right.
Yeah, Smile. So I was just like, dude, I bugged out so hard in that House record store. Right. Like, everybody was like, what the fuck? And I was like, oh shit, Controls.
There's no swearing you've ever done on the show. This is pretty good.
Well, because I'm not going to be on another show, so I figured let them loose.
That again, you're going to mention?
There you go. But anyway, that's like my story on how I got the Controls vinyl.
Okay, one final thing.
Rob Swift remix.
We went way over time. We got to get out of here.
Let's go.
I was going to mention final thing. 98, Downtempo Music. That's it. Downtempo. We was all into the Downtempo scene. Mo Wax, DJ Vadim, DJ Crush.
Ninja Tunes.
And a lot of that, I think, was because we were fed up with hip-hop in 96 and 97.
Yeah.
We kind of moved on to other kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Attica Blues.
Yeah. No, it's... Yeah,
Portishead, we're big into Portishead, right? And we were all into that. And why would we be into that, right?
Because it was like the next step of hip. That's why Anacon came big, because it was the next step of hip hop. Because we were tired of like hearing everything sound like Rascal.
Because Bad Boy took over and
DeFara. I mean, I love DeFara, Rascal, and all those guys, but everybody sounded like that,
right?
Like, you know, like.
So I just wanted to just mention that was a big thing. For all of us, we all started.
Yeah. So Oliver got the hugest freaking collection.
Right. That was a big influence for all of us.
Yep.
All right, let's take a break then. Let's go.
Time's over. Cavett the Catalyst, DJ Zach Morris, Christmas special, long-winded.
Yeah.
Special. Woo!
Don't you go anywhere. Sleep Time's Over. We'll be right back. Sleep Time's Over is back with another banger.
Sleep Time's Over. Cavett the Catalyst, DJ Zach Morris, the return.
Welcome.
Yeah, hey, thanks.
Welcome back.
Christmas special.
Yes.
Do you still do episode numbers at all?
Well, like I've always told you, why? But I never quite figured out. So I'm still trying to figure it out. There's a lot of transition I got to figure out, okay?
True that.
I got this young
girl. It's like a divorce.
No, I think it's more complicated.
Who takes the kids?
Well, it's not giving or taking, but it's just kind of like reconfiguring.
Sign the prenup kind of a thing. Yeah.
Paperwork.
Okay.
Yeah.
Speaking of paperwork,
okay,
and working on papers.
Working on papers. Well, I got some news and notes here for January. Just quick. Bro, hold on a second, okay? Hold on. Give me 1 second
of our
time. January, we'll be back January 8th for the award show. Feel free to join.
Oh, okay.
We're going to have Rob DeMello from KHON will be on. We'll do the award show. Then, therefore, after that, January 15th will be DJ Jimmy Taco.
Oh, man, with, you got some guests at Joe Beth.
Brian from Scratch, owner, he's going to be there.
Nice.
Then also after that, we're going to have Mr. Creed Chameleon.
Hey!
He'll be coming on. You know, he's back from the dead, wherever he came from.
Yep.
He'll be back. And then February, we're going to have Mr. The Howley of All Howleys, Flash, will be on.
Get a Flash on the show.
Yeah.
The most Holly guest we've ever had on the show.
I got onion respect for that cat.
Flash Hansen, original Pussycat Lounge, man.
Yeah, he put me on. He put me on, dude.
Like, yes, real. Yeah. So he'll be on, and that's the coming weeks. So let's go on with tonight, bruh. Get ready tonight.
Slow clap for you. No, I clap. Oh. Wow, great job, bro. I'm proud of you.
All right.
I'm so proud of you.
I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say.
Those guests are banging, dude. For real.
I'm trying, bro. I'm trying to do something with my life. Yep. Okay.
Hurry up.
But our next guest, that's you already gave him an intro already. So that's, you know, we're running way over time. Let's just bring out brother right now. I'm going to play it. Let's go. Here we go. They get intro music now, as you know, as you did, right? As you did.
Can't wait.
Oh, wait. This song's got a long intro, though. I got to fast forward it.
And introducing.
Okay.
There you go.
Hey. Hey, here we go. There we go.
Introducing Angry Robots.
There we go. Come on in,
Martin. Timer one.
Come on in. Yes. Here we are, bro. Oh, watch out,
get
the wire. What up, what up, what up?
Here we go.
All right.
There we go. Rhymer.
Woo, long time coming.
When did that song come out? When was this? Last year?
Year before last year.
Wow.
It was an Instagram video.
That's right. And I don't know how we're going to even begin this, because like either we...
You go choke ways, bro.
Let's go how we first met then.
Okay.
Yeah, let's go with that. So, I think it was Capital Fat where I first seen you perform with Six, I think.
AC Alone? It was the first time you met him?
No, I think it was before AC Alone show, where it would just be the weekly.
Just freestyling.
You would just be,
Capital
Fat. Him and Omega Six would just be freestyling. And then did you guys open?
For AC Alone.
AC Alone, yeah. That was my first encounter.
Wow.
With this gentleman.
That was our first show ever. With really? DJ Bumblebee. He rhymed in that.
That's right. And KR, right?
No, it's just me.
Well,
Six. Can't
rhyme on that one.
Me, Six, and Bumblebee.
Did you guys do Boiling Pot on that one? No.
Yep, Boiling Pot.
Bumblebee. Yeah. Shout out Bumblebee.
Shout out Bumblebee. He was in Seattle for a minute, I think. Went back for vacation, I think.
Is he back?
He got back. Yeah.
He came to my shop the other day.
Really?
Chopped it up. Yep.
He came by the house in his ambulance.
Yeah, he's an EMT, right?
Studying to be a paramedic. Yeah.
Crazy.
Really? Yeah.
He told me some crazy stories. But shout out to Bumblebee.
I can't imagine. But he was an influence for myself.
Oh, big time.
I love listening
to one of my top five mixers, Brian Hawaii.
Oh, yeah, too, clearly, man. Clearly, yes.
He's probably one of my biggest inspirations as far as like selections and DJing.
Yeah.
And stuff.
Yeah, definitely.
He was just so different from the norm. That was great.
Yeah, he introduced me to like Ninja Tune and Moax and all the acid jazz stuff. And
Jazz Fudge.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. I went with him to Funk Pistol, and he bought the actual first Blackalicious album from Funk Pistol.
What? Damn.
And I didn't know what it was. We went back to his house, put it on.
You like bugging.
Blown away. Like, what the fuck?
That was something. That was
the
something.
First one, right?
Rumble.
Third Fathom and all that. Swan Lake.
Swan Lake. 40 ounce. Which was one of, like, the main instrumentals we'd freestyle to.
Oh, yeah. The beat is friggin'. That's a Shadow, right?
What else was Shadow, I think.
Shadow, right?
Yeah.
I think it was Shadow.
But yeah, Shadow, we got to get that guy to show up.
Bumblebee. He'll come on. He works plenty.
He just works a lot, right?
Okay. Yeah, dude.
Well, to everybody listening, that guy, I don't even know what to say. The great mixer.
Yeah.
Great
MC, DJ. Sick MC, sick producer. Sick
He was the one.
Sick dancer.
He was such a sick MC, man.
Dude, he could do everything.
He was one of those guys, dude. And he killed it in Seattle. When Crush would go to Seattle, DJ Crush, he would recommend. He would get B to fucking open for him every time.
Wow.
Yeah,
matched perfectly. Sick. When did you first? Was
I took
around
Aaron home. I took Aaron home one time. I don't know if you remember this. Was that one of the? I think I remember someone saying you needed a ride from Waikiki, and I took you home to.
Damn.
To by.
I bought you in Chili Bowl.
No.
That was always the trade off.
You were at a military.
Let me buy you a chili bowl.
You're staying at a military housing.
Oh, that's right.
And someone's like, anybody going that way? And that's when I moved to Waipahu. So I was like, and I just met you. Huh. 94
block.
So then I dropped you off somewhere by the airport.
Yeah, yeah. It's that neighborhood right off of Nimitz.
Yeah.
Where was this from? Where'd you took it from? What event or what?
We were at a club, something like that.
I got kicked out of the house and lived with my aunt.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, that's the first time I met him. And after that, it was just pretty much my introduction to the Kanyohe cat.
Which is funny because Philly was living in Kanyohe with my brother.
Oh, crazy. But you were staying there.
Yeah. My mom hated me and kicked me out.
But look at you now.
Yeah, see? Yeah, the Kanyohe guys. I got to say.
The whole crew.
Eastside, man.
Eastside. Right.
I mean, even before us, though, I mean, you know, there was Malosi and Jamal and, you know, all those guys. I grew up with Jamal, actually.
Bro, crazy. He was like
in Kahalu, yeah. He was a BMX dude.
Nice.
He was the only dude I saw on a BMX on that half pipe, the same half pipe as Christian Osoy.
Wow.
Yeah.
Jamal is he same age as Christian Osoy?
We gotta assume so at this point.
I don't know, dude.
Or younger.
I don't know how old he is.
Late 40s.
You don't even know how old Jamal is.
No, dude. That dude's like...
Okay, so...
It's crazy.
Brother doesn't age.
Okay? Van Helsing. So, he's like Van Helsing.
That's gonna be the cover for this episode.
His skin is tight, bro. It's tight.
He doesn't age.
No, he doesn't.
He's gotta be like... part like Tahitian, freaking Norwegian, Scandinavian.
Brazilian.
Brazilian and a little bit Filipino.
Okay.
Yeah. Kind of Asian, because Asians always look young.
Anything that ends with A-N, we just put them in there. Yeah. Asian. Micronesian.
Oh.
Laotian.
Laotian, well, okay.
Brazilian.
Don't get nice skin.
Yes, but
anyway, Jamal.
This is the Jamal show.
So you grew up with Jamal, but that wasn't your main crew, though, right?
Oh, no, no.
The main crew was who?
It was A-N at first.
A-N for D4A?
Alien Natives. Oh, D4A, wow, D4A.
Was it like the same time? Oh, D4A was D4A
is before.
Graffiti, right?
Yeah, I moved back home from Las Vegas after living in California for 6.5 years.
Right.
So then I spent my whole adolescence in Cali. I left when I was in sixth grade, and then I came back in the middle of my junior year in high school.
Damn.
So it was culture shock for me, you know what I mean?
Wow.
It's kind of
everybody went, I mean, it's Castle, bro. It's fucking country, so
right.
Yeah. Everyone wanted to beat me and my brother up. Everybody.
But they couldn't. Guys were like banging.
Yeah, because we looked like Cali kids, you know? We were such tiger kids with the fucking Dickies.
Long belt,
Dickies, fucking polo. Like, we looked straight.
Yeah,
well, we had that Latino steez, man. We were so...
Did you guys have the long bangs or no?
I did have bangs, too.
Yeah. Yeah. I can picture you with bangs, yeah. You had
long bangs.
You even dial.
No, dial.
Yeah, peroxide.
But, no. No one fucked with us, though, because the Dumadak blood was huge and fucking on the east side. So
crazy.
Everyone that wanted to touch us couldn't because my fucking cousins would smash them. We're untouchable.
So how did you link up with, like, all the Kanye guys to create stuff?
Oh, so it was D4A. I remember... going to Castle and there was fucking ugly ass graffiti everywhere.
Right.
So whack. It was super whack. And I remember Todd came up to me. Shout out to Todd.
E.T.
Circle of Fire.
Yeah, yeah.
He came up to me. He's like, hey, come kick it with us. You know, because I was by myself. Right. You know, like, and they were like the skater hip hop kids.
Right.
So I was like, all right, I'll come kick it with them. So Todd asked me about if I knew about b-boying.
Right.
I was like, yeah, you know, in Las Vegas, I used to kick it with b-boys and watch b-boys and stuff. And then I remember this kid named Tommy Young came up to me. He's like, hey, that's our bombs right there. They had bombed the cafeteria.
Right.
And I didn't know at the time, but I was standing in the middle of the whole crew.
Right.
And I was like, yo, that shit's whack. That shit is so fucking busted. That shit is terrible. And all of them were like looking at me, and I didn't know why. Like, those days, man, I was a little knucklehead, so I didn't care, you know?
Right.
And then, and then Todd later told me that everyone was like conspiring to like mob me. Yeah, they wanted to mob me. And then Todd told the story to Keone Payton. Right. Shout out to Farmers Market Hawaii.
Yeah.
And Keone actually loved the fact that I dissed them in front of like the whole crew. He loved it. He gave me respect for it.
So, Keone's on the same age?
1 year older.
But Tommy's younger than you, right?
Yeah, Tommy was younger than me. So but after that, we were cool, man. Like,
nice.
They Keone, you know, he was the dude. So he's like, yeah, don't fuck with him.
Nice.
And then I ended up becoming crew with them, you know.
Was that, well, who was there? Was Brandon there? OG Dick
Brandon,
Dog?
OG Dick Dog. DiBiase.
DiBiase. Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, they, Brandon and Darren got kicked out of their private schools and ended up at Cass.
Yeah. OG Dick Dog went to Mid Pack.
Wow, so the OG, so that, okay, so like the OG crew was like Dick Dog, DB,
Painkillers, Barry,
Bumblebee.
Yeah, shout out DB. E.T.
Yeah.
Damn, you guys, that's kind of a crazy
crew. That was a great crew, huh?
Think about
the well, if you think about it, everyone from the crew elevated no matter what they did.
Yeah.
Keone was a super crook. He became a super crook.
Yeah.
Todd ended up going to Battle of the Year.
Yeah.
And one of the illest influential B-boy crews in the world, right? Actually.
Yeah.
Shout out. Barry ended up becoming a gnarly ass DJ. Yeah, yeah. You know? And yeah, it's cool, man. It's
was Corey kicking it with you guys too?
Corey too.
Super sick artist.
Yeah. Insane artist. Slept probably on. The illest.
Illest painter, yep. Dude.
I think the last time I heard what he was doing is he had a job in New York. He was those dudes that would fix paintings in the museums and shit.
What?
Wow.
Yeah, like white those, glove kind.
Yeah, fixing old cracks and shit. Wow. And all that stuff. He's that gnarly. Like Renaissance style paintings.
Wow.
Yeah.
So then when did you start Hidden Habitats then? When did that...
Hidden Habitats was when my boy Philly from D.C. He came to Hawaii for college. He went to HPU.
How did you meet Philly?
That's a crazy story. So basically, my sister... Oh, this weird dude calls. We thought he was a black dude because he had hella East Coast Ebonics, you know, the way he talked. And he was talking... He called our house out of nowhere.
Right.
And it was the wrong number. Like, some girl he met in Italy was like, oh, here's my number. I'm going to HPU. I'm going to be in Hawaii.
Right.
Calls up the number, ends up my sister. So he goes, hey, can I ask you one thing? Is there hip-hop out there in Hawaii? And she goes, oh, yeah, my brother rhymes.
What?
So she passed the phone to me, and I was like, yeah, well, you know, we have a little hip-hop scene over here. Yeah, it was crazy. So then we kept in touch that way, and then I remember when he was arriving, I was going to spend that summer in Vegas.
Right.
And then he showed up in Hawaii and everyone's bugging out. My brother's like, dude, we met Philly. He's a fucking Filipino dude. And I was just like, what? No way.
You sound like a brother.
Yeah, big time. So then I come home and we meet at Windward Mall, and he had a thing called a baby. And it's like his fucking Sony Walkman with two speakers.
Damn.
And he would carry around beats. So we're sitting in the middle of Windward Mall, and I meet him, and I'm like, what the fuck? We look like brothers.
I thought you guys were brothers.
Yeah, we totally look. He looked like we're relating, you know? And that fool, right when he meets me, fucking gave me a hug, and boom, pushes play. Starts freestyling in the middle of Windward Mall. Everyone's just staring at him like, damn, this kid is ill, you know? Like, Philly was like an insane freestyle.
So back then, who rhymed back then?
Oh man, it was just me. Before Philly, it was just me and this guy named fuck. What was his name? I forgot his name. There's only two of us.
So this you guys didn't even do Habitats yet.
No, not yet.
Just you guys meeting Philly
when I met Philly.
Yeah,
I have a funny story about that rhyming shit though. So I just started freestyling, and then. Remember Beastie Boys concert?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and there was the after party at the Sugar Mill.
I was there.
You remember that shit?
Yeah.
So basically, they're like, oh, MC's to the stage. And you know, we're knucklehead East Side dudes. We're like, oh, shit, open mic. But it wasn't open mic. It was like Humanaka's.
Right.
They're set.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And we got on stage and we just grabbed the mic like we're getting ready to fucking freestyle.
Oh, shit.
Well, it was just me. Oh, and the guy's name was Edmund.
Edmund, I remember him.
So then right there, Humanakas got mad because, you know, back then they were known to be like that.
Right,
like,
they would get
hella heated. And they told us to step outside. And Keone's like, oh, step outside. All right, let's go. We're going to square up. So we go outside. And shout out to Ha'o. Like, Aaron came out, started fucking, did a little scratch, like, with his mouth, started beatboxing. And then one by one, Tasho.
Yeah.
All of them, one by one, just fucking Cypher bullied all of us. Boom, boom, boom. Wow. We got so fucked up.
Okay, but I was there. Me and EP was there.
Yeah.
But then,
you remember that when we were outside?
But then, where did Kimo come in? Casper? Because he knew both of you guys.
He didn't know what to do. He was stuck on the side.
We were watching it, and it was like, and he kind of went in and freestyled, like, almost like a peace treaty thing. Like,
he was trying to connect us, but then that's what sparked our high, like,
right.
After we got fucked up by Humanakas, we went back to Kaneohe and we went in the lab. Like, We just freestyled every day because we're like, fuck those guys. We're going to serve them. That's what I miss about those days, man.
That's what we talked about.
That's what we talked, right.
We went into training because of those dudes. You know what I mean?
You're not going to see that now.
Nah.
What became of Casper?
He's still around.
Okay, he's
still
around.
Aja.
He has. He makes like electronic kind of housey hip hoppy.
Oh really?
Oh, he makes beats.
Yeah, he makes beats and rhymes and sings. It's on SoundCloud.
Oh, crazy!
It's on some trippy, some different. He still rhymes, but he's on all the more Ill Pill albums, and he still spits mad, really good.
Because that was another one back in the day.
No, he was dope, dude. He was freaking rhyme.
Oh man, when he fucking battled Abyss. On Itaro's show?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. He took everybody out. It was like listening to Saphir take out fucking Souls of Mischief.
Souls of Mischief, yeah.
He went one by one just slaughtering those dudes.
He was dope. So how was he in between both you guys, though?
Oh, because he was from the east side.
Oh, but how's he down with...
But he lived... He went to Roosevelt. Roosevelt.
That's right.
But with the Philly thing, when Philly came, he changed our whole game because... The way he thought, the way he made beats, he taught Fame how to make beats on the 2 second Gemini sampler.
I use that too, yeah.
Wow. He taught Fame how to make beats, and then he also taught us how to, because he came from DC where they had an awesome collective called Freestyle Union.
Right.
And it was like a freestyle seminar. You couldn't swear, you couldn't cuss, nothing.
Right.
But they would throw topics at you. And then you had to like tell stories, like it was such an ill like program. So then Philly applied that to us. So we used to go to Painkiller's house, and he would open the dictionary, write down words, and we put it all in a bowl.
That's dope.
And even if you didn't rhyme, you had to fucking participate because Keone would beat your ass. So fucking, we had all the words in a bowl and we'd pass it around. We'd take a word and then Blam would spin. Sick. And we would go in a cipher, and we all had to use the word somehow in a fucking cipher. And we all got good, man.
I mean, shoot, I can see why.
Because,
not.
I mean, we had, and Keone would put words up on the wall, like, to practice his fucking vocabulary and everything.
See, I can see that.
But Keone rhymed.
For a little bit, yeah, he did.
That's pretty sick. Did OG TikTok rhyme, too? He did, right?
Yeah, he did, too. They had a fucking crew, him, Barry, and someone else. They had, a little...
They had a crew, a rap crew,
back in the day.
See, I just remember him from just...
That was short, though, really short. But it was cool, man, because downstairs, it was in Corey's house, and Corey's house was right across the street from Keone's, and we had a place called the Bomb Shelter, and that's where we'd practice b-boying and shit.
Dude, that's dope.
It was a cool setup. But yeah, Philly inspired all of us to do all that shit. Showed us Endopsychics and Amphibians, and listening to them, like, really up our hip-hop. You know.
So then that was like all late 90s, and then
that was
Habitat.
96.
And then what was the transition then from Habitats to doing what you do now?
Oh, well, we were freestyling at Keone's house, and I said it in a rhyme. I said, "Hi, Habitats," in a rhyme. Oh, and Philly came up to me and was like, "Yo, we should use that as our crew name." We ended up using it as our crew name.
But you're at that time, you guys are still piecing, bombing.
I was still bombing.
Oh, that's
hard.
Tough. But no, but what?
Battling NBS.
You did a lot of characters.
I was a character.
Character guy, right?
Yeah.
Diaper. I got old stuff.
No!
Yeah!
Dipper!
No, Diaper's sick. But no, I mean, because you did characters back in the day, is that why you started? I mean, we all know the story of, if you don't know it, just go look it up, on how I created the panda and everything.
Yeah.
But did that influence you in graffiti days of characters to... The fact that you have a character now.
Oh, yeah. I mean, people don't know. I used to draw this grizzly bear.
Right.
Like, all the time. I don't know. If you check out Hisham's old shows,
there's a
weird-ass grizzly bear I used to draw.
Right.
That kind of looked like a teddy bear.
Yeah.
And it spawned from that. But, yeah, I mean, I could do throwies and blockbusters, I wasn't really too into, like, the wild style piecing and stuff I was more of a character dude.
So when did you see I've been through the whole journey with you. What I mean? But so people don't know, where was the turning point when you realized you could make your art your career?
After
just
my,
to kind of fast forward everything, because we can go
first show at Kicks Hawaii.
And then it clicked. You're like, dude, this is it.
Yeah, because Kicks Hawaii had that show with Lalo and Fitted. Those three. Which is crazy because they're all cool, you know?
Yeah.
Working together.
Yeah.
So I remember I had like 90 pieces in that show.
Yeah.
Majority was pandas.
Was it the upstairs show?
Upstairs, yeah.
What was that, like 2000? What year was this?
2002?
Yeah,
2002.
Yeah, my show was.
And it was like swap me style, so people could buy a piece and take it home with them.
Right.
And the pieces were like $40 and up. I think the most expensive piece I had was $350. Chris Cam bought it. He has it. It's an elephant. It's not even a panda.
But you had your dolls too, your rice dolls.
Oh, and I did, and I did rice dolls. Right. And those sold too. So I sold like almost everything that night. And I remember I wasn't even thinking about it. And my girl at the time was like, "How much did you make?" And I was just like, "Oh shit, I made money tonight." And I felt my pocket and I felt a lot of money. I went in the bathroom, I counted it, and I was like, "Holy shit, I made $1,800. That's insane." It was the first time I ever sold that much art. And like,
that was your first show?
That was my first, I mean, not counting the Hisham group show. But that was my first solo show.
Right.
So right after that, I was just like, damn. And I was working hella jobs, man. I had no days off. I was working at Chemo Beans Coffee.
I had Kicks, right?
Borders and Kicks Away. Yeah. I had no days off, so I would work like maybe 2 hours after, like from like 2 to like 4, and then I'd go to sleep and wake up again and go back and do the whole thing over again.
So from then till you moved to Seattle, right? You moved to Seattle after that, right? How long was it?
What year was that?
Yeah, well, 2002 to 2000. Oh, just that 1 year, I Information and Kicks was getting me shows. Remember, I started sending my artwork to San Francisco. My first international show was Montreal.
Yeah.
And then I was trying to...
What was your name back then?
It was Wobot.
It was Wobots.
Yeah,
that's
It was Wobot.
Was it Angry Wobot?
No, it was
Wobot.
Angry wasn't yet.
Just Wobots. Angry, Angry came in through the Kicks show because Ian was like, "Well, we're going to call the show." And I was like, "Fuck, Wobot is boring." So I was like, "Oh, just put Angry Wobot in front of it." He's like, "Man, you're not even angry." It sounds good, though. It sounds good. It sounds cool. And it was never meant to be a name. It just became, people would be like, "Hey, you're Angry Wobots." And I'd be like, I guess so. Yeah, that's the name of the show.
That's crazy. Yeah. So that was pre-Panda, where Panda was created, the Wobot Panda.
No, the Panda was created during the Studio One.
Okay.
Poetry slams.
Right.
But then it was the experiment because I would paint once a month, and no matter, after I painted that first Angry Panda, someone would come up and be like, "Hey, can I buy an Angry Panda from you?"
Right.
So then I just kept on, you know, I kept on painting them for people, and then all of a sudden the show came up, and I was just like, "Damn, I'm gonna paint a shitload of pandas and see what people are gonna do." And I did, and it just fucking it went viral, dude. And it, you know, fortunately, I mean, I've been full time since
03. So after the Kick show, what were some of the other big shows you did after that? Before you, and what year did you move permanently?
The Information, the Nalu Boggs show, which was the pinnacle because I was unknown.
Right.
Had David Cho in the show, Invisible Man, Andy Howell, Hayes.
So you met Mainframe?
Mainframe was in the show. So all these dudes were just gnarly, fucking heavy dudes. These are good. Yeah. I was collecting magazines and books with these dudes in it. And they were the dudes I would look at to, like, I mean.
It was a surfboard? That was a surfboard.
Surfboard show.
Okay.
And it was, you know, before, I mean, I hated the term street street art.
Right.
But that's the community I'm in, and that's I'm stuck in it, so that's what it is.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and I had to bring it because Information was like, "Yo, we're going to do the show." And they gave me the roster, and I was like, "Oh, fuck. Like, what the hell am I going to do? Like, these guys are all gnarly veterans." Yeah. I mean, fucking Futura was in the show.
Futura, What year was this? This was what?
2005, I think.
Information Award, yeah.
Yeah, Information Award.
That was War,
So I had to bring it. So I turned my surfboard into a kayak. Remember?
Yeah, I do.
And I first time sewing, too, I made a kayak, and then I made a digital skin, like, you know, digital camo was just started.
Yeah.
So I made a fucking skin to go over the kayak, and it had a stuffed animal, and then there was a remote control vehicle for the stuffed animal, so it was like Lancey.
Wow. Did you sell it? You sold it.
Some guy named, shout out to Giorgio, he bought it. He's a guy from Italy.
Not Giorgio, Giorgio.
Not Giorgio, Giorgio.
The promoter, Giorgio.
No, this guy Giorgio was a...
We sent him out.
I don't know if you guys heard of DeFomo. It was a project with Delta and Futura.
Oh, snap.
It was a whole club in France, I think. I think it was France. But he was the art curator for that.
Wow.
And he was coming to Hawaii a lot.
He bought it.
Yeah, he bought it because the year before that I was also doing the remote control dunks. Right. So then he commissioned me to do a dunk for Mark Parker for Nike.
Wow.
And then I didn't want to sell it to him. I gave it to him as a gift. I was like, yo, just give it to Mark. Yeah. That's Mark Parker. Yeah, on my own dunk. Like, what the fuck? Wow. And then, the dunk never happened. But, but you know, that year later, Giorgio ended up buying my piece and got it shipped to him.
And that's when you felt the changing of, like...
Well, yeah, I mean, Evil Munito gave me an interview. Oh, that's right, same issue as Dalek. So I was floating, man. I was just like, yo, this shit can really... Yeah, man.
Was that around the time you did the video with Bumblebee where you guys were like in a hangar? When was that one? You came back for that.
Europe trip?
You remember this video, right?
Remember the video where I'm battling Bumblebee?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's painting and then Bumblebee's scratching. And then they're in a hangar. They're in an airport hangar.
Shout out to Kelly and John Hook and all them.
Oh,
Chris. They put that together. But yeah, that was a dope-ass video, man. Fucking airplane and shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Guarantee you see
it. So I just had a string of good luck during that time, man. Because on top of that, David Cho had gone to Tokyo and he wasn't allowed back in the country, so they sent him back.
Yeah.
And then June gave him my number, and I ended up taking him around. This is way before he blew up.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, he was already big in Upper Playground, but you know, I had this guy like. I'm kicking it with this dude. Yeah. You know what I mean? He gave me... I have an original from him. It's crazy. Shit. And then after that, Andy Howell, skateboard legend, came. Yeah, yeah. And, you know, he asked June. Shout out to June. He was like, hey, I want to paint. Right. Is there anyone on the island that I can paint with? And when June gave him my number, I was like, what the fuck? Yeah. New deal? Yeah, like, what the hell? This skate legend wants to paint with me? And, yeah, and then I became good friends with Andy. I ended up doing a two-man show with him at Studio... What's it called? Upstairs.
I forget.
Gallery spot. Where all the original people from Bevy. I can't even think
39?
Of it. 39? 39 Hotel.
39
Hotel,
yeah. Wow.
But yeah, so yeah, I mean, from having all that connections and... I mean, they didn't really help me get anything, but just being affiliated and being able... I mean,
Andy Howell alone. I mean,
And this is before all that Instagram shit. Like,
social media.
Right.
Was MySpace.
So you're in Hawaii. When did you decide, like, I need to move to LA? Or I need to move to Orange County? Where did you move to?
No, I wanted to move to... I wanted to move to the Bay because at that time, Upper Playground was starting to blow up.
Right.
San Flores.
Yeah.
And
that was big at that time, yeah.
Yeah, it was huge. Right. But, you know, the Bay Area is real tight. They're real elitist about just keeping their clique. Yeah. So I met a girl from Seattle. Ended up moving to Seattle. Okay. And then it just worked out because Circle of Fire.
That was a trend, right? Like, a lot of guys would move to Seattle. Yeah, that was a thing, Seattle, like, right?
Yeah.
Down the line.
Yeah, Barry moved to Seattle. Todd moved to Seattle.
And Black Coffin is out there.
Right? Yeah, Lucky moved to Seattle. Yeah, freaking Mungin moved to Seattle.
I was before them, though.
Oh, you were before all of them?
Oh, all of them. It was Todd first, and then Barry, and then me.
Oh, okay.
Because so remember, my car accident was in 98.
That's right, yeah.
And that's what made me move.
Ah, that's right.
Well, we could be going on for, like,
yeah,
at least 69 more hours, but we gotta address this though, because like there was a thing that we would do,
all right,
after the clubs. This would be going on. You remember this? We'd always be like out late, and we would always go eat Sonoya's, and then we go to Zippy's, and then there was one time where it was us three and Darren.
Okay.
Damn.
And we just talk story literally like for this hours. Right now.
Yeah.
Till at least 7 in the morning. What were we doing with our lives back then?
Yeah, that's how it was. But that's back how it was. Then,
right.
Say bye.
He's kicky.
We would say bye like 100 times.
Yeah.
Say bye, like, shake peace, y'all.
And then you move down the parking lot. Yeah. Boom. You sit down like, I got to go. Okay, cool. Yeah. We move by a car, sit by the car, like, blah, blah, blah.
Shake hands, shake hands.
Yeah,
shake hands. It's your boss' fault, bro.
Yeah.
He's just a master of handshakes.
It was that. No one could say goodbye back then.
Dude, no responsibilities.
No responsibilities.
Yeah, you know, you go work late. No work.
No need. No worry. Let's go work at the market and then give you know, people free stuff. But that was a thing though.
That was a thing. Thank you for that.
Yeah. Hashtag you're welcome, bro.
Thanks. Hey, I got poke. I got steaks. I got
that time. Everyone had like
you came through. Huh? Because it was right next door to HIC, which you had, Ken.
OG Dick Dog was the parking dude at the Varsity Theater, man.
That's right.
We used to just pull what I did.
That's right.
I forgot about that.
Oh, God. But I just remember, like, the Alamoana, that was Murderer's Row. We had Cam and Blaze.
Yeah, HIC.
Jedi at Sarah's.
Sarah's, yeah.
Oh, shit. That's right.
That was nice. Yeah, Chris Nakano.
Chris Nakano at, yeah.
Dig Lifestyles was at Sarah's.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All the suckers were out down the road.
Say hi to everybody. Walk down. Get your free steak.
Get your free stuff.
Poke.
Free steaks, free poke. Like, get out of here.
Beep.
That was it.
Beep.
It's crazy.
Okay, bye. Yeah. I'm not going to reveal where that was.
Anyway, so what's now then? So that went down, like Wolves.
Well, you're in town, back in town now. What were you? What are you working on as you... return here.
I skipped. I usually do Art Basel Miami. I've been doing that the last 8 years. And it's usually like the first week of Miami. And
What is that?
Yeah.
Art Basel is like the fucking the hub. Like, it's like the festival for at the end of the year for artists. Like, just fucking literally hundreds of artists painting walls, doing art shows. Swiss Beats has his little fucking exhibition with all his artists. Nice. Like, everyone's there. Who is?
And it's going on right now. Mm.
No, it's done now.
It's done.
But I mean, shit. Last year we did a fucking awesome show. Right. I'm still floating on it with my crew Sandlot. Was with Wu Tang.
Right. And then was it Raekwon was there?
Yeah. Or? So we did a show with RZA's 36 Chambers.
Okay, it's Quality Line, right?
Yeah, so they're Wu-Tang was already going to be in Miami, and my homeboy, Jose Mertz, shout out to my dog, he Metatron's Blade, that's what he goes by.
Nice.
He was like, yeah, RZA, you guys are going to be down here. Why don't you guys do a pop-up?
Yeah.
36 Chambers pop-up. So apparently 36 Chambers is RZA's clothing line.
Right.
Because someone owns the Wu-Tang name,
yeah.
Which originally was Power, right?
Yeah.
So he has a side clothing line. So RZA was like, okay, cool. Yeah, that'd be cool if we do a pop-up. And Jose was like, let's do a show too, an art show. He goes, okay, I'm down for that. Just show me some of the artwork that's going to be in
right.
it. So shout out to my boy Chris Brand. He's like a gnarly-ass Japanese traditional tattoo artist.
Yeah, yeah.
He created this gnarly-ass piece that reminded me of Fist of the North Star. Okay. It's basically a dude like getting punched.
Right.
And his face is like exploding. And there's just like 10 fists coming at him. Like, you know, like.
Fist of the North Star.
He sent it to RZA, and RZA was like, what the fuck? This is the artwork that you guys are putting in the show. Because they did shows before in New York, and it was just like knucklehead graffiti dudes, you know, like real, like half ass show, right, you know, typical show. So he's like, all right, well, we'll do the show. I'm going to give you guys 11 tracks from the new Wu-Tang album that Mathematics produced.
Sick.
And each artist has to do their rendition of the track.
Wow.
So I got Hood Go Bang with Redman.
Okay.
So I actually stayed away from Pandas. I painted a samurai kid in a samurai helmet and mask. And he has a Funk Dr. Spock sweater on.
Nice.
Wow.
And how big is that piece?
It's like a 24 by.
And all the pieces sold, or is it?
I kept sandwich? Mine.
I kept yours.
Yeah.
I wanted to keep mine. But yeah, so then RZA was like, "Oh, it's on. Yeah, we're gonna," you know. He saw all the pieces started rolling in. He was just bugging out on all the pieces.
Damn.
And then he was like, "Well, how's about this? Why don't you go ahead?" He gave him a budget. Gave my boy a budget.
Yeah.
He's like, "Why don't you rent some tables? I'm gonna have Mathematics come down, and then I'm gonna have Raekwon do a set."
Sick.
So we were like, what the fuck, you know, like holy shit, bucket list shit, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then so Jose's like, hey, RZA asked me if I know any DJs, and I was like, yeah, you're fucking, this is your city, you're in Miami, like you got a hella DJ homies. He's like, no fool, I want you to spin my shit at the show. And I'm like, fuck that, you want me to open for Mathematics? Holy shit, dude. At this time I'm like, what, 2 years deep in DJing? Right. Like, I can only mix. I'm not like a, you know, like a veteran DJ. Right. I don't even know my 62 yet. I don't know all the buttons and everything on it. So I'm like, fuck it. Okay, so he was just like, man up, dude. This is going to look good. You have a piece. You have a mural
on
the wall. You have a gnarly ass piece. And they're going to see you behind the table.
Right.
Yep.
He's like, dude, pussy, everything's gonna come to you. Yeah. Like, I don't, I got a girl, I don't need pussy. He's like, dude, it's just gonna look fucking awesome, man. You gotta rock it. So I was just like, all right, I'll do it. I'll man up and do it. And then, yeah, so I spun a set. I didn't know, like, they were here yet. And when mathematics came, he fucking gave me mad daps. And I was just like, whoa, what the hell? Fucking standing behind, I was, dude, it was like Boiler Room, like Raekwon and fucking mathematics and me on the side, like.
Hi.
But yeah, we rocked that show and it was crazy.
And Ray got on, did verses.
Ray did every fucking, every dope fucking shit he knows for. He was mad cool too, and it was
packed. How tall is Raekwon?
He looks short.
He's like my height, dude. He's not that tall.
That guy stays fresh, though. You know what I mean? Like, all the old guys.
He was cool as shit, man. Mathematics was mad cool, too. And it was just one of those.
That was last year.
So, yeah. So, this year, I wanted to go again. And right. I usually do Juxtapose House. And my homies, we usually throw, like, we usually come out the box. Because all the homies, like, dude, all my colleagues, they're all gnarly ass. Yeah, you know, there's different levels. Right. You know, there's, like, guys that are selling pieces for like 40 G's, you know, and then in between, and then, you know, and then there's me, like the most expensive piece I'd probably sell is like maybe 5 G's, you know what I mean? But I mean, like, so we usually try to come up with a show that's just like out the box gnarly where they're like, how the fuck did they pull that off? Nice. You know what I mean? So originally we wanted to do Czarface.
Nice.
Mm.
Because when I was in Worcester,
I got Colorado.
New England.
Mass, right?
Yeah, Massachusetts. I ended up linking up with 7L and Esoteric.
There you go.
Yeah. And then, so I've been in close contact with them. It's crazy. It's a weird thing, like chatting with Esoteric is crazy, you know?
Sounds so weird. Because
he's a fucking nerd, you know what I mean? Yeah, he's super. He writes for Marvel, dude. He writes stories for Marvel.
That makes sense. Damn, not surprised.
So I told him, dude, I want to do Miami, and I was thinking about doing a Czarface show. But we couldn't find funding because we wanted them to perform and wanted all the artists to do Czarface themed pieces. Wow. But he's like, oh, it's all good, man. We got to do something. So we're planning to work on something. We don't know what, but I want to.
Wow.
And so I didn't end up going because my mom's like, yo, your sister's coming from Georgia. It's the first time the whole family's going to be together. Right. So I was like, well, fuck Miami. I'm just staying in Hawaii, and that's why I'm here.
That's why you're here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm here.
It's only what a Christmas, huh?
Merry Christmas, happy everybody.
Have a merry.
And to all a good night.
Yes.
But you can hear your paint. Wait, before you go, you painted somewhere. Or you are painting.
I'm
somewhere.
Painting Bar Bevy right now.
Right.
And, that's where you just came from tonight.
Yeah, still got paint on
paint everywhere. Yeah. See, this is real right here. Look at that.
And you're available for commissions and...
Oh, yeah, dude. All the time.
And private paintings.
Of course he is.
Small pieces, though.
Small pieces.
I'm trying to finish my piece by the latest by Thursday. And then the reveal is this Saturday. I'm going to be spinning with Roger from Aloha.
Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, this Saturday.
This Saturday. Don't come because I don't want to be judged.
You get surrounded, right? Shift right, shift left, you good.
My thing is, dude, like, I'm really comfortable on my 62. I don't spin out. I don't spin out ever. And I tell people, dude, I get people asking me all the time, people from Long Beach, LA, like, and I'm like, nah, dude, I'm not that kind of DJ, man. I just spin at home or spin for homies, you know what I mean? And my thing is, because I don't know people's equipment, I only know my equipment. So when I show up to a club and it's just like giant
mixer. It's a panic situation. Yeah.
I'm like, oh, fuck, I don't know how to use that shit.
Yeah. It's real. It's real panic.
If they really want you, you do a writer, you request. I need a
62. Oh, no, I've done that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I've done that for Denver, Colorado.
You can do that,
dude.
You're like Dragon Robot DJ now.
Nah, I'm not a DJ.
You actually can, yes.
Dude, just do it.
We're kidding here, yeah.
If someone wants you at this point, be like, I need a 62.
Do you know me?
212.
No. That's what I'm going to do.
But I don't even, when I DJ, I don't even go under any of those names.
Yeah, that's right. Give a new name.
Yeah, that's another alias.
Another name, bro.
What's the other alias? Wait,
I can't tell you. What's
the secret?
I can. No, I go, you know, I'm fucking child of the 80s, man. So inspired by fucking Goonies. My alias is Data's Belt.
Wow.
Based off of Data's Belt.
That's so great.
It's just so weird and like...
With the teeth.
And I like it because people fucking... You know, the young kids don't know what that is. Right. It's always the old heads are like, what? That's fucking dope. Yeah,
you know? That's how we know we old.
Sounds a little fun. So,
that's great.
Data's Belt, man. That's my DJ alias.
That's your DJ name then.
Yep. Data's Belt.
Nice.
There you go. Nice.
You can
yes.
see Data's Belt spinning through the peach.
No.
There you go. On Saturday.
We're telling the world.
Opening for Eminem at the stadium.
Oh!
Hi, my name is Data's Belt.
It's like. Oh, that might be reason to go to.
Just for fun, man. It's for fun.
Go fly back. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, you know, and then I also have Metal Fortress. Right. I'm actually working on an EP right now with my.
There you go.
One of the dudes producing is Silent John. I don't know if you guys know Silent John.
Silent John.
He works with Scatterbrain.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, there's a few beats on there. I'm just doing it for fun, man. I'm just going to release it, not even try to sell it.
That's how.
I just want people to listen to it.
Right, right.
But, yeah, we're called Metal Fortress. Shout out to Travis because he's the one that made that name, Six.
Yeah.
And it's Data's Belt and Metatron's Blade from Miami. So.
Nice. And then, so when are you leaving Hawaii?
I don't know.
Oh,
nice. Oh,
for real?
No.
Maybe. I might get another job. That's why in January.
You
so.
Oh, you stay.
I can't announce it, but it's big.
So you just keep stacking. You might just because only two is literally only it's a month and a half away.
I'm used to being away from home, but it all lies on my girl. You know
how
pissed off she is. If she's gonna let me come back or not. So her deal is
you're leaving next week.
Well, original Miami and DJ.
No, go Miami. No need.
Now the original deal was if you spend Christmas with your family, you gotta come home and spend New Year's with me. But then I told her, I might get this job, and she's like, damn, so if you get this job, just fly me to Hawaii.
Oh, there you go.
There we go.
So she might be coming.
Hawaii Miles, cuz.
Yep. She's a Miles.
I got mine too. I got some.
Oh, that's right. You more than me, boo.
Write them off. Thanks, write off too.
All day long.
See? This is real insider information.
Moses is going to be here, bro. You get to DJ your bar mitzvah, your luau.
Funeral.
I want to see you do a prom, bro.
Can't.
That'd be funny.
A reunion prom.
Oh.
Class of 95.
You were killing everything 95 BPM. Yeah. Nothing fast.
It's funny because people will hear this and they're gonna say.
See,
like,
I don't see you guys are DJs, man. I took one gig in Hollywood. It was in the Hollywood Hills. It was at this mansion for my homie.
Okay.
And he's like, "Yo, they're willing to pay, dude." And I was just like. Word, okay, shit, I'll do it. Can I play anything I want? He's like, yeah, you can play anything you want.
Okay.
So I get down there, set up. I'm like, wow, this is cool. It's
so you're in Hollywood, Hollywood mansion.
It's a fucking mansion. It's giant.
You're spinning it.
I'm spinning at it.
And you play anything
you want. Rock, huh?
Until these...
You're playing the controls.
No, I do. I spin all that shit.
Yeah, anti-pop consortium.
I play shit like... Test one. I played fucking... I played Scott Larkin.
You played Scott Larkin? What?
In Miami. And this dude rolls up, like,
shut up.
Hella happy, like, oh my god, what the fuck? Like, are you serious?
Totally high on coke,
dude. He was tripping. It was like an older cat. He gave me a hug. He's like, "Yo, dog, I can't believe you're playing this track. Like, I can't."
On the real DJ, that might be the greatest feeling ever.
Oh yeah,
because someone comes up to you. And says, dude, I don't believe you're playing that.
Right.
This is dude.
That happened
a shocking moment.
Well, at the Wu Tang show, I was playing all old school boom bap. You know, like when I played Nine, there must have been like. Fucking 15 heads in there that are like our age, like, whoa, what the hell? Like, singing along, you know what I mean? Like, it
that's
was dope, man.
Thing, yeah.
That's crazy.
Crazy so stuff, man. I tell you what, we gotta.
But yeah, like, these French cats showed up. They're all young ass millennial cats, and they're like, you know, they're fucking requesting all that radio shit.
What'd you play then?
I don't have it,
the
dude.
French.
The French.
That's why.
You play French hip hop, bro.
You play French toast, bro. French fries.
I played brand new, what do you call it? Les Nubians. They're like, damn.
Makeda.
But they're even, that's even old to them. Like,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
they're
yeah.
so young.
Wow.
It was terrible, man. They stressed me out. Hello.
It's only fitting we end the show talking about the French.
The French.
Only fitting for Christmas.
Final words for Angry Robots before the end of the year.
Final thoughts.
Final things.
Know your roots. learn to laugh at yourself. And shout out to all of my crews. NTL, Sandlot, Metal Fortress, Light Sleepers, and everybody. All of them, yeah. Every one of them. Shout out to my brother, Nervous.
Word, Nervous. Is that it?
And shout out to y'all, dude. Shit.
Thank you for coming on. These guys man.
Forever, dude.
Thanks for coming on, yeah.
Good stuff. We got Sonoyas right now.
Dude, you know we could talk all night if you wanted to.
This is going
to
be too much.
So is that it for our Christmas special?
That's it, man. That's it?
Sleep time. Am I finishing this off with the typical?
Do it.
Sleep time's over. Kevin the Catalyst, DJ Zach Morris, Woes, Timer, Dennis Belt, all that good stuff.
Wow.
Hawaii Hip Hop.
Still up.
It's over. Sleep time's over. Woo! Beep, 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 beep. Blah, blah,
blah. Thank you for listening to Sleep Time's Over. Time's over. No sleeping tonight.